106.7 WJFK, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For a complete contest rule, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Are we starting already?
Hey, turn your radio down.
I can't. I'm rocking out to you guys.
Hey, turn your radio down, please.
Yeah, hold on. I can't reach it.
Get it. Hey, can you name three of the stars from the movie Goodfellas?
I'm sorry. I had to put my phone down. I turned down the radio. I didn't hear what
you said. Can you name three of the stars from Goodfellas? The movie, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, the movie. Sure, Al Pacino is in that. He's a typical gangster in all movies. The guy that plays in...
No.
Your first answer was incorrect.
All right, the guy that plays in The Sopranos.
We can't. We need a name.
Now, here's the question from yesterday.
Yes, okay. Give him the question from yesterday.
I was in meetings all day.
Name the character that Sean Penn played in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
He was the stoner.
He was the stoner. What was his name?
Beat the hell out of me. He was stoned all the time, and so was I.
This guy is our new program director.
Yes. If you're keeping score at home, there has not been a correct answer yet.
And all we're trying to do is gauge his knowledge of bagel.
All right, well, what did I tell you guys the other day? That if we're going to play this game, I'm coming down with the questions of my own to ask.
You know what? I'll take that, Chaz. Give us a question.
Actually,
give us a question right off the top of your head. Right off the top of your head.
Actually, I'm going to Mike's restaurant this evening.
But a question.
And we will not be socializing.
And I hope
you're
No!
I hope you're safe there tonight.
Are you bringing somebody with you?
I might.
Please do.
I might bring half the staff with me.
Yeah.
Bring you.
And you can give it to us as long as it's not in excess of $99. Then we can talk kindly about it, and it won't be like it's a plug hole.
Oh, my God.
This program director.
Greg, I hope you understand we will not be having personal contact this evening.
Okay.
I will greet you if I am there. And then I will repair to another part of the room. And it's a big enough room to hide.
No, come on.
You're junk yet?
No, not her. I don't want to talk about that either.
Okay.
Thank you.
She
Thank you. You're making life more difficult.
Okay. All right. Well, I have to run downstairs to get something. I could pop in and say hi. Otherwise, we can talk in a bit.
Oh, my God. He is not getting it.
I guess I've had enough of you for today. Can you tell us, you mentioned The Sopranos. Can you mention a couple of actors or characters on The Sopranos?
You want to know something? I know about that show because you hear about it on the radio and the television and read about it in the paper, but I have never seen that show because I refuse to subscribe to HBO.
Oh, my God.
Again, now, fine sponsor. This is a great guy to have running our station.
That's right.
My point in all of this is, well, never mind, I can do it without you.
Bye.
Bye.
My point in having this idiot on the air is to point out that he's the program director of a radio station that, when we're not running crazy, wacko, right-wing talk, it's supposed to be lighthearted talk that's devoted towards men,
human interests,
things that people are talking
pop
about.
Pop culture.
And this is the great disparity, the great disparity, thank you, Buzz, that I found with this guy. That he's big on the numbers, he's big on the facts, he's big on the radio jargon.
Right.
Asked him a simple question the other day. Started with old school. Right. Somebody said he sounded like Will Ferrell got the tranquilizer in old school. So he played the tape and we called him up. He made some comment about how it would be unique to play radio sound clips on the radio. Do you remember that?
Not knowing that we have been doing that
for years.
Forever. Yeah, forever.
Yeah. Forever. So then that made me think, well, let's just ask him, try to gauge what was the most popular movie last year. I'm not talking about Oscars or anything, but the movie, what's a movie everybody saw?
Right.
Wedding Crashers.
Right.
Yeah. Did you see Wedding Crashers? No.
And okay. He obviously doesn't see a lot of movies because he doesn't subscribe to HBO, and it doesn't sound like he goes to movies in the theater.
Right. Now, again, I'm not going to say that he's not going to be a good boss just because he doesn't watch a certain movie. Or he doesn't watch a certain show, but there are three magical words that he should know, and it's called know your audience. The audience in the non-communist blocked hours, which is almost kind of a crazy pun there.
Yes.
The block party, the block programming we have of communist nature, in times that we're not doing communist programming,
right.
He should be aware of what's happening in today's current events.
Well, he's not, and he never will be.
On today's scene. I mean,
he is not. I tell you, I'm beginning to see a picture, though. I think he...
A picture?
I think he likes to hooch it. It sounds to me like he likes to drink. That's what it sounds like.
Well, hey,
so he knows nothing about pop culture, and he gets loaded every night.
The good news is he's coming to your bar tonight.
Well, I'm seriously. I will say hello, and because I'm far too frightened and uncomfortable to linger. And you know what? In the event that he brings people I know, it's no offense to those people either.
Right.
I will have to sit somewhere else.
Apparently he likes to drink and watch broadcast television that doesn't require anything but an antenna.
Oh, and
well, you know what I'm already thinking?
What?
Friday night, ruined.
As a...
just overall?
Yes. As a follow-up to radio, what would life be
without it?
Last night, for some unexplained reason... the political guy that's on after us.
Yeah.
Remember the whole jerk-off thing yesterday?
Yes.
Well, that show last night was a last-minute decision to go to a rebroadcast of a previous show.
How curious is that? That is very, very curious. What a curious thing. What a queer thing.
And what it says about this gentleman's show, about jerk-off Jay Severin, is how dynamic it is. That I was in the car listening, waiting to hear one of our listeners call him up, and I guess it was something from like 2 months ago.
I called Rob.
But that's the beauty of these shows.
I called Rob and I told him, I'm not sure.
The pablum is so...
They sound so identical.
So much the same every day.
And I have listened to three shows where I've listened more than 30 seconds. And that was one that I had heard. And I actually listened to it for 20 minutes before I was certain. Called Rob, I said, I still don't know. Because I didn't want to tell Rob something that was wrong.
Right.
And have it turn out to be correct.
It was so good. It was so dynamic. I thought it must be best of. Because you don't just happen on a show.
You know those categories you had discussed, Don?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of them. It was one of them. It was that, you know, Iraqport.
Yeah.
The ports.
Well, there you go. Hope everybody in the Don and Mike Marines, all of our private piles out there. And we do mean that in the, you know, in the not good way.
Two men side by side.
Stepping in a pile of privates. Hope that all you private piles out there will call him if he decides to come into work tonight.
Please. Thank you for it.
But listen there.
He told me it was a last minute thing. He had, I think, the bird flu.
Oh, really?
He'd come down with something.
Unexpected.
Real unexpected. Oh. I hate this song.
It's a party.
Come on.
I hate this anthem.
Sung by a Russian.
There we go.
I love driving home with Dawn and Mike.
You know how happy and carefree that is.
You know, it's like toenail fungus, though.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's there.
Very kind of addictive.
No matter if.
It's awful. You know you shouldn't, but you want to scratch it.
That's right.
Just I ain't going back till I'm finished with the show.
And you just get a touch of the accent.
Some
up to ports don't sound right. In that Russian way.
Don and Mike, right here. Welcome to the fabulous pre-show.
Sergeant, like a good soldier, stay in the mission until told to stand down. Bye!
Carry on, soldier. That's military talk right there.
Get out of here, please.
Happy birthday, dear Jesus.
That's from a movie.
We have a magic show tonight.
Today is Christmas. There will be a magic show at 0800.
You see, what Mike just said was very funny. The entire riff is funny on some level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Greg Gillespie, I guarantee.
Wouldn't get it.
You know what that was? That was the sound of that sailing over his head.
Simple little quote from a movie called Full Metal Jacket.
That's my point. Because you know the time is going to come when this guy, when he's going to want to sit down and, like, try to be the boss. And I'm just trying to set my defense already.
I think you're in good shape.
Movies are the literature of our generation.
That's right.
There's no doubt about that.
Don and Mike show.
We get...
That's not kind.
Homo. Now, the guy said the weekend is here and Joe's an effing queer.
Yes, he did. That was not nice.
It was not nice.
Can't play
not
that
true either, radio. Rob. You're right.
Joe is married to a woman.
Yes. He's married to a woman, not a man.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike about 24.
Yeah, well, here you go. 4 days later. It was on Monday. It's now Friday. Hello, sir.
Yeah, I just saw it's a game coming out for it. I want to let them know about it.
I saw an ad for that. They're going to have 24 the game. We'll tell them.
I don't think they wanted to talk about that.
Okay.
All right. Are you black?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. You know, they told me not to put any black callers on the air.
Okay, Joe.
Okay. See you later.
Yeah, Joe.
Not really. It's what they told me.
There he goes.
Joe,
you big old bigot.
There he goes. Actually, I thought that... the 24 game, although I'm not a big fan of games like that. You know, obviously I'm addicted to the Madden thing.
Right.
I don't like the James Bond games, the where you open doors.
You don't like Call of Duty?
No. And I think that 24 is only for PS2.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not for Xbox Live.
You might like Condemned.
Oh, and...
that's a scary one.
Somebody sent us an email at donandmikewebsite.com.
Yes.
I don't know if this is true or not, but it may help me save face a little bit. I got back on Xbox Live last night, played again last night, and trounced the MF-er that I was
playing.
Isn't
that a great word, trounce? I love that word. I really do.
Just killed him.
They trounced him.
My overall record now is something like... who am I kidding? 25-6.
Something like.
Wow.
Like you don't have it memorized.
25-6.
That's approximately.
Winning streak one.
25-6, that'll get you into the playoffs, won't it?
So, I mentioned, and I wasn't kidding, that the guy that I was playing two nights ago just kicked my ass 80,000 different ways.
Right.
And was bringing in players off the bench. And, I mean, I couldn't do anything. Somebody sent an email to the website, and I'm going to use this as my
You put it on the bulletin board?
As my cheap cop-out about this.
Oh, I thought you were going to use it for motivation.
No. According to ESPN.com, many NFL players openly have put their own playbooks into Xbox Live and will go online and play and talk. The number one person that does this is Willis McGahee of the Buffalo Bills. Now, that's my story, and I'm going to stick with it.
Were you going to say that you were playing Willis McGahee of the Buffalo Bills?
That is the only thing to me that would make any sense at all. Why right. someone could beat me.
Why someone could beat you that handily?
So badly.
The only rational explanation.
I mean, how else?
You know what I say
how
now?
How does Coy get Detmer when they take out McNabb after he's thrown 7 touchdowns?
You know what you have to do? You have to get you put the headset on then. Because maybe you'll establish a relationship with one of these fellows.
Hello, friend.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it was Willis McGahee. I don't even know if that's true or not, but somebody emailed that in, and gosh, that sounds...
Latch on to that.
And,
I think everybody you play, you ought to have an entree like this. What you talking about, Willis?
But the thing that is intriguing to me about it is, if I was a football player, let's stop and think about that for a second. If I was a football player, that's how I would choose to study. If it would be possible to actually come home, put your own plays or a variation of your playbook into the Xbox.
Like a simulator.
Right?
And you'd be sitting there on the practice field every day and people would be going, Geronimo, what are you so tired for? Because you were up playing Xbox all night.
So I was studying film.
That's right.
Is it that accurate?
Yeah.
I mean, are the plays...
A lot of
that's similar to like the real plays in the NFL.
All I know is that like if you have the playbook for the Indianapolis Colts, there are something like 400 different plays out of different formations that are available to you.
So and it comes out of their playbook, like the same kind of plays they run.
Well, the hype that Madden gives you is that he spends time with the people at EA Sports spend time with every team,
right.
And while they don't tell them actual secrets. they do find out
it's amazing.
The playbooks for different teams.
It's an amazing amount of work that goes. Didn't he say that when he was on our show once? It's an amazing amount of work that goes into putting that up.
If you're retarded like me and addicted to this game, after you play for a while, and I play as the Colts all the time, you know the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you got 40 seconds to pick a play. If you want to pick a down and in to Brandon Stokely that's going to be about a 15-yard game, you know right away that you go to category 3 wideout split. Then you go to the one that says features Brandon Stokely. I'm losing you, Mike.
What? You got a little detail.
I followed every word.
Here's the thing. This is my point.
Then repeat it.
This is my point. Out of the 400 plays that are available to you from various formations, if you play this stupid, idiotic game enough,
right,
you master it to the point where...
Like you're a quarterback learning the playbook.
Yes,
right.
where you're actually... Now, keep in mind, smart here being a relative term. You are so smart that you can actually, within 40 seconds, think, oh, I want to run the play-action skinny post. That's underneath...
Is that really a name for a play?
Yes, it's a skinny post.
What's a skinny post?
A skinny post is where you would have a wideout, for instance, in the slot, right to the right.
Yeah.
And all it is just run straight down the field. And it's like a 20-yard, it's just a little skinny pet. You fake the handoff and you just, boom, throw them a dart. And they call it
the post was like when you cut left and then you go long.
It's a skinny post.
So it's like
a little short play.
Why isn't that called a fly?
I don't know, Mike.
Isn't that the fly pattern?
I don't know. They don't have, I don't know if they have fly.
I used to call that a fly when you just run for a bomb.
I don't know. I'm talking about a video game. I'm talking about real life.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know. And do you have a button hook? Like sandlot football.
Yes, there are. But it's not called a button hook.
Right.
No, you just have to look at the formation.
Down and out? What do they call it, down and out?
They don't call it anything. They don't call it nothing. You look and you see, okay, there's Marvin Harrison. He's going to run to this point and stop.
Okay.
And the other guy going to run to this point and stop. And then you call the play and hike and you're off.
Because it used to be down and out. Down and out right, down and out left. That's all it was. And you just run like 20 yards, cut right. Or you
very complicated. That's very complicated. That's why Willis McGahee was able to kick my ass.
That's right.
So badly.
You've already started the legend. Mm-hmm. The myth that it was Willis McGahee and the rest of his teammates that were playing, all in their jerseys.
Now, here's the last thing, and then we'll get off this topic. The reason that I do believe that is that right after Frieda died, when... Peyton Manning's sister-in-law, who listens to our show in Louisiana, contacted the radio station about everything that happened with Frieda, and they're big listeners of the show down there. And I told you that I got a phone call from Peyton Manning, mm-hmm. and have had limited contact, you know, with his charity and stuff. And one of the things that they told me way back then was that he plays on the Xbox.
Live?
Yes, Peyton Manning plays Xbox Live.
I think those guys are so driven that if they are playing it, that it has to have some kind of benefit.
And then one of the caveats that they threw out to me was that, you know, maybe someday Peyton Manning will play Xbox Live against you. Of course, that's never happened.
Yeah, and he wouldn't, just like you don't give your ID out, he wouldn't give his ID.
No, and I have, you know, beyond the fact that the guy called me, mm-hmm. you know, I have no idea how to get a hold of Peyton
Manning. Do you remember the guy's ID name? Did it sound anything like his football name?
It was something like Killa, spelled with an A, like the Killers, K-I-L-L-A-S. Okay. So, you know.
So it could happen.
That sounds black to me.
That's the Killa.
So it could be, Mike.
It could be. He was very good at the game.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show, pre-show. Hello.
This is Willis. I'd like to let you know, Donnie.
Shut up. You're not a black guy in the NFL.
Hey, boys, listen up. You know how to way to kick that machine's butt? Play it like a video game.
What?
Just advice from Willis McGahee. I really don't understand what he was saying. Do you know how to kick that machine's butt? Play it like a video game.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Hey, what character do you play on defense, Don, when you got your ass kicked?
What character?
Or what defensive player? Like free safety?
Oh no!
Oh, that's right. You have to be one guy, right?
I generally start off as Corey Simon on the defensive line, and then once the ball is hiked, then I go to
playing free safety. Is he beating you deep?
Yes, but listen, when I play as Corey Simon, I can get 3 or 4 sacks a game.
Yeah.
All I got to do, dude, is press the red button, and I can be Nick Harper right away.
Right. But you can set yourself up in a better position, though.
I know. Listen, I'm pretty good at this game. I'm telling you, Willis McGahee.
I don't know.
Get out of
here.
Play it like a video game, sir.
That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
I'm sorry that I brought that up. I really am.
The gamers are on the line now.
I wish I wasn't so freaking pathetic.
The gamers! Hallelujah. Hello there.
Did you think that Greg Gillespie knows anything at all about the world of Xbox 360?
I guarantee he does not.
You don't think so?
Well, you might be surprised to know that I was in a Circuit City store and stopped by the kiosk with the
kiosk.
Video machine and played a little Mario Brothers. So what do you think of that? Well, but I don't want to subscribe to any of the game services. Far too costly and takes away from my martini money.
Oh, listen to this, for God's sakes. This is from a radio publication, Friday Morning Quarterback.
Ah.
And this came out on Feb 24. Okay. So let's say that's, what is that, like 3 weeks ago?
Right.
Because February is a short month.
Mm-hmm.
And what's today, March 10th?
Right.
All right. And it's an article by Greg Gillespie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Again, pointing out. I hate to do this, but I feel I must.
Mm-hmm.
Pointing out that this guy is totally not the guy to be the program director of a talk station.
But he is, and he is to be feared.
He is giving an article here. He's written an article for this radio magazine.
Oh, he's going to do something really bad.
and it says, it's at the bottom, it says, Greg Gillespie is program director of CBS Radio's Free FM Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already identifying him as a guy that's running a talk station, right?
No.
Here's his article from February 24th.
He loves to write. They're my favorite band,
E-R-R,
brand, by Greg Gillespie. Music is one of the threads of life. It has been since the beginning of time. It might entertain, it might soothe or rile the savage beast inside. It'll always create an emotion. All that officially changed in January when it was announced that the band Korn, concert promoter Live Nation, and music label EMI Group have formed a partnership to increase the profitability of the overall Korn business. Now some artists are, or ostensibly, have been brands. The untalented yet profitable Britney Spears comes to mind. In addition to her music, she is branded as a perfume. Looking back at their business or music career, it is clear that Korn is getting stale. Their first label, Sony, must have known that. They quit cooking Korn. And, I mean, it goes on and it goes on and, you know, what is... Wow, I'm having trouble keeping my head up.
I mean,
that's amazing.
And I can
imagine his textbook's much the same.
I know that is more boring than hearing me talk on and on about playing Xbox.
Wow.
But
it's a wonderful example.
This is 3 weeks ago. The guy's writing an article for a trade magazine in the radio business.
Right.
He's the program director at one of the highest profile talk radio stations in America. As we've found out, he doesn't know anything about television. He doesn't know anything about current events.
He knows something about Korn.
Yeah.
And incidentally, our theory on Korn. Korn, enjoy it a second time.
Hold on, let me go to the, what's the last part?
How are you?
Some stations brand, but they do it without calling themselves a brand. They simply say who they are. Think of it as 107 KXYZ Cities Classic Rock. Based on January's official Korn branding announcement, my guess is they would take this philosophy and position the band, or brand, as Korn, the music business investment vehicle.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
I'm scared.
Hold on. Here's a little bit about himself.
Hold on.
Let's face it. Every product is a brand. But when's the last time you heard someone call the product that, let alone call a band a product?
I've driven nothing but Hondas over the last 22 years.
Typical.
But I've never told anyone it's anything other than a Civic, Accord, or CRV. And I've never seen a Honda commercial calling its products a brand. They're just cool cars.
Right. this guy had this published in a magazine.
Just a short time ago.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, no. Thoughts on marketing.
Well,
God damn.
Very interesting.
I mean, really, I hate to beat a dead horse. One last thing, I'd love to beat a dead horse.
Nothing like it. That horse could just be beaten and beaten and beaten.
Now, anybody wants to read this, you can go to FMQB. Oh, I'm sorry, I love it. Go to FMQB.com. They have to go on their archives. It's dated February 24th, but it does include a photograph.
And that's him.
That's current him as he is photograph today. Of GG, Greg Gillespie.
Don?
Yes, Greg.
Plans this weekend? You want to do something?
Greg, I understand you're going to Mike's restaurant tonight.
You coming with?
No. I want you to bond with Mike tonight.
Please?
I know that Mike is really looking forward to it.
I want to be your friend.
Having you out there tonight.
Can I come in?
No, you can't come in.
Just for a minute.
No, you can't come in.
A little second?
Nope.
Okay, I thought we could get in my car, maybe drive around the block a couple of times. Listen to Corn.
How about that Corn, huh?
You like the picture? Did you like my picture?
What were you writing about?
I don't know. It's like this job I'm doing. You know, people ask me, well, what does it take? I said, I don't know.
Who plays Tony Soprano?
One of the guys from Goodfellas, you mentioned before.
Yeah, and hold on, what about that, Goodfellas? His first answer was Al Pacino.
Al Pacino. There, that's, yeah, I'll go with that. Tony Soprano's played by Al Pacino. You know, I know that. I've read about that. I've seen an article about the Sopranos, but I, strangely enough, have never viewed it.
Why?
I did not wish to subscribe to HBO.
How's your Civic?
Civic's better than the Accord. Accord's better than the all the other ones. Sit in my Honda with me. I'll play my Corn album. Are you starting your show?
Yes, we're starting it now.
Okay. And no chance I can come in, right?
Not a chance. Well, I think we've devoted the first 15 minutes to you here. That's plenty of time.
Thanks, Don.
Bye, Greg.
We'll chat next week.
See you tonight at Mike's.
Goodbye.
I mean, Mike will see you tonight at Mike's. Here you go,
Mike. Ruined. Friday night, ruined.
Here you go.
Don't come near me.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6, or between 1 and 5, or noon and 4. Check your local. Check your local listings.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Damn, damn, damn! Thank you!
I don't know if we started with Sam Hagar recently. I can't drive 55.
I drive, though. I'm trying a lot harder now. I really am.
I worry about you, Jack. I saw that motorcycle down there today.
I really don't. I don't go much over 55 on that motorcycle. Between 55 and 60, that's about topping it out. Not once in a while,
you.
65.
Yeah, but on side street.
Sidewalk.
Hello.
That's fun.
Hello.
Hello.
We're going to start with Mr. Sam Hagar. He cannot drive 55. Oh, I love it. I got your intro. Right here.
He's a lovable character. He's like the Kool-Aid guy.
He is fat.
No, he's just a little bloated.
Hey, How's your palace of chocolate?
How's your button hook?
Good afternoon, Dr. and Mrs. Bankers and all the ships at sea. Hey, they don't like to brag, but they invented inventing.
Yep.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Goddamn right, Robbie, and hi, everybody. We're listening. This is the Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode on this Friday.
Friday!
Right, 03 10. Hot six.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Buzz, what is the percentage of your health today?
100%. He's better than he was yesterday.
99%.
Come on, I know you're better than yesterday, but...
I think he's 70%
today. He looks much less wax dummy-ish than he did yesterday.
Still yes. Sweating a little bit, though. Still perspiring a little bit. That, I'm glowing.
All right, give us a number, Buzz, and we can't move on.
I'm going to say 92%.
92! Yeah, it's like when I used to tell Frida how much money I would spend. She would always know to add to it.
Right.
I would say in this case with Buzz, you delete, right. Take 20 off.
His color's better, but I think he put on some bronzer.
Yeah. And Buzz,
yes.
Here you are on the show yesterday.
Right. I'm not dead yet.
See, now say that today, please.
I'm not dead yet.
See?
I'm not dead yet. Less strangulated today.
Sounds better. Don and Mike show right here. You can call us. Here are the phone numbers from anywhere in the USA. Call 877-365-3636. You can also call 1-800-636-1067. And if you're listening to Free FM from D.C., you can call WJFK. Call 202-432-1067. We're also on the Internet. You can hear our stream. You can go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
I don't even recognize that. I can't even tell what that substance is.
It's blood, Mike.
Is that what it is?
It's pig blood.
I thought it was paint.
It's pig blood.
Oh, I like pig blood.
There you go. That's the Internet stream today.
Please, sir, can I have some more?
Well, what we did was we, as we always do on Friday, we slaughtered a pig before the show.
Right. It's Sacrifice Friday.
And we ate like kings.
Mm-hmm. And there's the blood.
There you go. That's the Internet stream. That's what it is today.
Some clotting. Oh, I wish I had more in the white shirt.
It was a great luau, though.
You can hear us on the Internet. Go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com. Click on Listen Live. You can also send us electronic mail anytime during the show. Write to DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also on iTunes with the podcast. Go to iTunes and then click on the podcast and click on Talk Radio.
And right. We're still getting gangbuster downloads, and that is very, very good news for the show.
Very cool. Hola, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hola, Don Aldo y Miguel.
Hola.
When branding is so important, why is the JFK van still wrapped with Redskins radio?
All right,
I saw it on L Street today downtown.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Bye!
Says it right there.
I'm getting it painted.
I think you're getting Brandon confused with sweating the details.
Yeah, let me just explain very briefly. Branding, which is what, you know, Dummy was writing about there.
Mm-hmm.
They changed this station, like they changed a bunch of stations a while ago. Instead of calling it WJFK, which it's been known as for 15 years, they call it Free FM.
Right.
Yet, we still have promotional vans that are obviously driving around Washington, D.C. The guy just saw it on L Street, that say real big, 1067 WJFK, and they also say home of the Washington Redskins.
Have you seen what they're going to be doing now?
What?
Have you gotten a look at that?
No.
Oh, jeez. Have you seen it, Rob?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
The vans, the new design for the vans.
Don, I've seen your face.
Our pretty faces are going to be on them.
Oh, that's great.
I've seen your face.
Our faces.
I just say that is a huge mistake.
Our heads are going to be on the van.
You know, you may be overreacting about having the Redskins radio thing on the truck because it still matches the envelopes.
Yeah, they never change.
When we use up the stationery, then we can paint the truck.
We are decidedly not.
Is this really what the van is going to look like?
Well, it's bigger.
How do you like it?
Oh, it's a piece of paper, you dumbass. Of course it's bigger. No. You know what this is going to do? Cause accidents.
Oh, see, that's a bigger one than I saw.
You put our big, ugly faces on the side of a van.
Right.
Yeah, you know what that is? That's going to be la, 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 la. I'm driving down the road and...
There we go.
And no matter what you do, I mean, you could be a guy out driving, and there could be a school bus full of crippled, retarded kids in front of you, and you could just plow into it.
Whoopee!
And you're talking about kids on stretchers and everything.
Right.
The cops come over and they go, "Are you drunk? Are you high?" And you say,
Look at the van. Look at the pictures on the van.
And then the
two scary men.
And the cops give you a lollipop. Tell you to go home.
I'm looking at a scary picture when I ran in the back of the car. Oh, no, help me.
No one's being charged here. When you go back and you have to talk to Sister Mary Elephant.
You're free to go. But all of the crippled children are so hurt. How come you're letting the man that ran into our van drive away?
You go, ma'am, I want you to shelter your eyes. Look at that van right there.
See those two pictures? That's it. That's why. Could you prosecute somebody that had gotten into an accident after looking at that picture?
And that's when she says, I've seen those faces in my nightmares.
Rob. Yeah, the van will match my motorcycle now. Duh. What a stupid comment that is. With my head. My fat head. Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you put a picture of yourself on your motorcycle?
You know, that's a great idea.
That is a good idea.
I'm going to do it exactly like that. My free FM bike. Yay.
Yay. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Yes, Don and Mike Show. What is this? Another phone caller. Hello.
Like to hear Indian Giver by the 1910 Fruit Gum Company?
We're not doing Request-O-Matic right now, dude.
Just a comment on turntables. I think your program director is playing on that four-speed wheel. I forgot about 16. It was below 33 and a third.
Bye!
Okay, see you later.
It's the first person attempting to comedy, doing the comedy laugh-off today.
It's Mr. Esoteric checking in.
Yes, yes. I think he's a turntable playing.
Wait for his brother of Avant-Garde. Thank you.
Avant-Gardner.
Todd of my show.
That's another DJ used to work. It's the Avant-Gardner show.
Except he was urban. How you doing, baby? This is Avant-Garde.
You know that previous call, the guy that just called in? Greg Gillespie's laughing at that. Yeah, that's pretty funny stuff.
Think so?
Maybe we can hire that guy. Give him another shot. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yes.
Perhaps if Greg Gillespie wants to spend some time with you, he could spend some time playing Madden on the Xbox.
I bet he doesn't know what an Xbox is.
Bye!
I don't know who Madden is.
No, I bet he knows what an Xbox is.
Yeah, because that's been written about.
Right.
You know,
it's in the paper.
He read about it.
Do you think he could name both major play, you know, I don't want to say
like the two
formats.
Of them?
Yeah.
Game formats?
I bet he can't.
No,
Atari and Coleco.
ColecoVision.
Coleco.
Hey, back in the day, ColecoVision, dude. Yeah.
ColecoVision was the next step up from Atari at a certain point. What's that?
It came after Intellivision.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And how would you? How old were you then?
I was but a boy.
But a boy.
Sometimes he says stuff that is just way beyond his scope of living. He's only 35.
Right.
I mean, he's just eaten his first strawberry, for God's sake.
He doesn't. I don't know where he gets the stuff. I really don't.
He has an old soul.
He definitely is an old soul.
And an old heart.
I love that expression, incidentally. They use it on AI all the time. You're an old soul.
No, he's not going to pick up. Hmm. It's too bad because John just found another quote from the guy on this radio site. And this is from today.
Oh, wow.
All right, Greg Gillespie is not going to pick up.
Sure, I can't take your call right now. I mean, I'm on the line or out of the office. Your name and number, phone, back to you as soon as possible. Thanks.
To replay your recording,
yes.
To replay your recording, press 1. To erase and re-record,
it's perfect.
2. For delivery options, press 3. To mark this message urgent,
yes.
Press 2. 1. That command is not recognized. Please try again.
What?
Message marked urgent. To replay your recording.
No, thank you. All right, here's...
I wish we could save that and play that and give that to him anytime he wanted to have any conversations with us.
This is from today.
So this is current as today's headline.
Fresh quote. From FMQB.
which is a big radio thing. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Oh, I see they ask a bunch of different program directors. In Radio Olympics, what radio event would you win the gold in, and what one would you not even bother competing in?
Oh, good.
And here is Greg Gillespie's answer. Greg Gillespie, program director, WJFK, Washington, D.C. In Radio Olympics, what radio event would you win the gold? Relationship marketing. That's his answer.
What the hell is that?
Relationship
what
marketing.
What the hell is that?
Which one could you not even bother competing in? I can't think of one. Bring them all on.
Is that what he says?
That's his quote.
There you go.
You can go online and read
what
it yourself.
What the hell? I don't know the term.
Relationship marketing, that's what hookers do.
Isn't that like relationship marketing with if you had an ad on MySpace.com?
I don't know. I
what
guess
the
it
hell?
Sounds like
has sure. anyone, Rob, have you ever heard of that?
No, never have.
Relationship
no.
marketing?
Never heard of it.
Now, here's the other, now some of the, to give you just a point of reference.
God,
somebody,
this guy is dangerous!
Some of the other radio guys like took this as the joke question that it was.
Uh-huh.
You know, Stan Priest from WSTO. And again, the question asked of radio guys is, in the Radio Olympics, what event would you win the gold in and what would you not bother competing in? Like, with the, you know,
okay.
If they would ask me and Mike, we would say, oh, we would compete in hanging up on callers. What would we not compete in?
Live remotes.
Yeah, okay, simple. All right. So, here's a guy from WTSO, Stan Priest.
Gold medal? I wouldn't bother competing in the indoor broad jump.
He's trying to be funny.
Huh? And they can't do that.
And then the other one, he answers honestly. You know, what would you not bother competing in? Copywriting, meaning he can't write commercials.
Okay.
Then you've got, oh, God, all of these guys. One guy writes that he doesn't want to go to update the website. All these guys write the things that they really
yeah.
think they can or can't do, or they try to goof around about it. But not our guy. What event would you win the gold in?
Relationship marketing.
Okay. I submit to you that that is doublespeak. Because I have never heard of the concept.
Here's
I really haven't.
If you are such a relationship marketer, you suck because our relationship is awful. You've done an awful job of marketing yourself to...
Is that what it is?
To me and Mike.
Is that what it means?
I guess.
Like, market...
I mean, the more I'm finding out about...
I mean, I can see relationship building.
The more I'm finding out about this guy, the more I'm
marketing is an advertising term.
I think his
right.
last job must have been something to do with working in the record industry.
Yeah.
Getting radio stations.
Because he's got that wonderful record exec jargon thing.
Yeah, hold on. Maybe somebody knows here.
I'd like to know.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, it's Lance.
Yes, hi, Lance. Lance Boylechek.
Relationship marketing, that's name dropping, which is what it sounds like Greg tries to do to you guys all the time, is drop names.
Is really that what it means?
I don't know if it's a...
Somebody's trying to be funny again. I just want an answer.
Hi!
I'm working on it.
I want to find out if it's not doublespeak.
It's possible the guy was giving us a viable answer for it.
There is an
networking.
Yeah, an Association for the Advancement of Relationship Marketing. There's an organization based on that.
Hey!
But still no word on what the hell it is. Yeah,
if you look at their website, good luck trying to figure it out.
Hold on. Yeah, we've got it here. Relationship marketing. Development of relationship marketing, customer retention, the broad scope of relationship marketing, criticisms of relationship marketing.
No one's defining it!
And this is the
but
guy.
You know what? It's a perfect term for some. Listen, you know, this is it. This is the skill. I've identified what the skill is. What do you do? What's your strong point for relationship marketing? What boss is going to go, oh, I don't know what that means. You're going to go, oh, good. Okay, well, keep working on that.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Imagine that. Yeah.
I bet they
get the call from New York. Hughes gets the call from someone in New York. How's it going with the new guy?
He's brought us to a new level of relationship marketing.
And meanwhile,
he's just the best relationship marketer. You know what that means, right?
Yeah, Bobby Bagler goes, even though he doesn't know, he goes,
he would say, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, okay, maybe not him. Maybe
one of the other guys.
Maybe one of the other guys would go, yeah. And meanwhile, they're writing it down.
Right.
Because they want to use it in their next conversation.
He's supposed to be an excellent relationship marketer.
Well, Robbie.
According to this website, it can be applied. Relationship marketing can be applied when there are alternatives to choose from, when the customer makes the selection decision, and when there
stop
is
stop right there. It makes
doesn't
no
make
sense.
You've lost us. You've lost us.
It's total BS.
That's what the guy says he's good at.
It's total BS.
He's,
He's good at BS.
That's right. It is horse ass.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello. That relationship marketing is nothing more than PR or public relations.
Well, then why didn't he say public relations?
Because, Mike,
he's an idiot.
Thank you.
Because if you want to give a girl a turd for her birthday,
right.
Don't you want to shine it up real nice?
Sure.
You don't want to just give her a cow moon pie. You want to put a little sparkly on it, make her feel special.
Give you a classic example, okay? It's not a receptionist. It's a director of first impressions.
That's right.
That's what it is.
It's like that.
Way to go. Now you.
I'm not a janitor. I'm a sanitation engineer.
Now you just. Now you just pissed off all of the secretaries and janitors that are listening to the show.
I didn't mean to do that. I really didn't mean to do that.
Excuse me. All of the sanitation engineers and executive
assistants.
That's
right.
I certainly didn't want to anger Colette or anything like that.
No. And now here is just town village idiot Joe Artinger.
I'm not a call screener. I'm an assistant producer. Joe.
Look at that.
Another example.
He just beat his chest when he was walking out of the room.
Get out of here. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times we leave the building at the end of a day, and Mike will say to me, I find it so tedious to talk to all of the garbage men that listen to this show, that call to this show. Oh, the garbage men.
The sanitation engineers.
You remind him.
Yeah, and I have to say, come on, Mike.
That sanitation engineer.
And then he says, oh, what about all those secretaries?
Mike, those are directors of first impressions. Constantly is he reminding me of that.
Someday you'll get it.
Because I believe in that, Mike.
And I'll say, hey, watch out. Don't let that cop see you going too fast. Peace, officer.
Now
I'm a mad
funny.
Sanitation engineer.
What?
Sanitation engineer is upset here. Very disrespectful, your comments were.
Disrespectful.
I'm terribly sorry. Please accept my most sincere apology.
Thank you. Can you shoot me?
He wants to be shot.
No.
He wants to.
No.
Come on, please.
No. However,
this is suicide by radio. Oh, tasered him.
That's a good.
Oopsie. Now what's he doing still talking after he's been tasered, for God's sake?
It's like a death rattle.
He's stunned.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, you want to know what relationship marketing is?
Well, it's bull-ass.
It is. It's BS, and it's focusing in on building long-term relationships rather than focusing on individual transactions.
That's right.
Sort of like your insurance man or your broker tries to have with you so they can, you know, get their hooks in you and keep
you know what?
Forever.
I'm giving you a round of applause. Yeah. You're the first person that gave it a description.
Got it.
Thank you. Very nicely done. It's still BS, though.
What a load of crap.
Mm-hmm.
What an absolute diaper full of crap.
But he's an expert.
I don't want you with me for one day. I want you with me for a lifetime.
Relationship marketing. Yeah. Then we can talk about the band Korn and what's happened to them with their branding. Meanwhile, ass, his name is Tony Soprano, okay?
Al Pacino played him, right? There we go. Oh, man.
Okay, good.
Wow.
Good start.
Boy, oh, boy.
Good start to the Friday Getaway Show. Friday Getaway.
Very exciting.
What are you heading off to the mountains or to the shore this weekend?
Hope you have some nice experiences and do a little relationship marketing while you're out there. Yes, go to your local store and perhaps that man behind the counter is going to be a lifelong friend.
I'm going to go to a B&B this weekend. You know, the nice types of B's and B's. B's. Make a nice relationship with the man at the front desk.
Well, I hope that's a long-termer. I hope I get to see him again and again.
They never are, Mike.
Year after year.
My B&Bs. You know, because generally, you know what it goes. I go, I meet a lonely woman.
Yes.
And then I'm gone by the time the authorities are there. Booze and bondage.
But I'll tell you right now.
That's what I'm into on the weekend on the party.
Got quite a relationship marketing thing going with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, though. And their sex crimes unit. Yep, that's relationship marketing. Several of those officers know me. Those agents, I should say.
Oh, that's right. So now we're going to move him into the area of sex crimes. I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
Yep, several of the agents know me on a first-name basis. Some of them know me as Greg Gillespie.
Someone A.K.A. knows... Fingers. A.K.A. The Thumb. The Thumb Band.
Greg Gillespie, Gary Gardner.
Gary Glitter?
Gary Glitter. He can have many aliases. Depends on what part of the country I'm in.
Because wasn't Gary Glitter seriously just busted for kid touching?
Yeah, he got yes. Several years for it in Thailand.
Right.
Yes, sir. Relationship murder.
Well, we got a break. Come back. Do you want to tell you? I do have some weekend plans. I want to find out with Mike about how things are on the home front.
Yes. Very good.
Got some DOG news for you. Mm-hmm. And also, I think, I came within a nun's pube today of just surprising you all and wearing in the Batman suit.
Oh, my God. Nice. That's another week.
But I'm
thinking, you're definitely setting the table for that.
I'm thinking maybe Monday. If these forecasts hold up and it's 70 degrees through the weekend on Monday, a very good chance on Monday I'll run around like an ass.
It'll be comfortable to do that. Will you go out on the sidewalk?
Yeah, of course. Nice. Come on.
That's the point.
What's the point of wasting a month's salary on a Batman suit if you can't wear the goddamn thing in the middle of the street doing your radio show?
Exactly. It's not good unless you run.
What's the point?
That's the best part of all.
What's the point? I'm relationship marketing.
Relationship marketing.
One more. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I finally found where I am in my life.
Okay, are we supposed to ask, where are you?
I'm a radio auditory aficionado. I'm not a listener.
That's a listener.
Oh, there you go.
Good title.
Okay, all right.
Go.
Bye!
I'm doing a little relationship marketing. I've got a wonderful thing going between my finger and my nose.
Long term.
It's a lifetime.
Long term.
Lifetime of relationships. They've been very close.
But that's not the only orifice,
no,
is it?
No.
Are there others, Greg?
Yes, I've got a wonderful relationship between my index finger and my eye. And not the one I see out of.
What color is that eye?
It's purple.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it was brown.
Brown and purple.
It's brown and purple.
No, well, I'm redheaded.
Red and gray.
Red and gray. Yes, sirree. You scratch mine, I'll scratch yours. That's relationship marketing, my friend.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ah, I don't want to forget this. Wasn't a slight, was not an intentional slight.
That's right.
Weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
There you go.
Bingo.
Thank you, Joe. Bye, Joe.
Bye.
Just realized I done forgot it.
Joe.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Are you there?
Am I on the air?
You are. Who is this?
Were you looking to be on the air?
Yeah, I was, but nobody said, hello, you're on the air.
Hello, you're on the air. Who is this?
Oh, my name is Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Wow, I have a brother named Larry.
Life is
doesn't.
So funny like that.
I have a question for
you.
Yes,
we're listening, Larry.
Yeah, why are you guys allowed to say bullshit, but they couldn't say bullshit on the Don and Mike Show?
Whoopee! Don't drink soda before you call the show.
No, really, you're in the air. Joe?
Yes?
These were your friends calling.
No, they're not.
Hello, you're in the air.
Whoopee!
He's very happy about that.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird.
Even better than a ball of blood. The Don and Mike Show.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Had a big weekend.
I'm on my second beer.
You know what? This is crap. All right, a couple of things happened to me today. One embarrassing. One just pissed me off and they made a scene. So bear with me.
I love a scene.
Yeah. And I'll just tease you by telling you that, not tease you, but I am I'm going out of town this weekend. So deal with that.
Yes, deal with it, people.
Let one cat write what she wants.
And she will.
But once again.
He's traveling again.
The gay widower will be out.
Yes.
My dog, Colonel Clink, who's gone nuts. I've had him to the vet many times this week. This is not the...
is he still getting the rabies shots?
This is not the rave out that I had. This is something that happened involving Clink.
Your rabid dog, Clink.
See, now he attacked two different dogs. He snipped at two different dogs.
Yes.
And I took him to the vet.
Your bipolar dog, Clink.
Now that I do believe. incidentally, I found out his birthday has passed. He's 11.
Oh, he's getting long in the tooth.
So he's really 77. Right. And now every day I give him his doggy Paxil. I give him his doggy Downer.
Right.
And I give him his doggy arthritic pain-relieving medicine.
Okay, which is normal for that age dog. Right.
And I've got some stuff, these like drop things that I've got to try to put in his eyes.
Okay.
So I've got him on a variety of things, and they have upset his stomach. Mm. I've not... I've spared you some of the details.
Mm.
However, this morning, it was... doggy crystal meth.
right.
This morning, I got a great FedEx guy. I mean, I think everybody has... You either like your FedEx guy or UPS guy.
Love right? my FedEx guy.
Anyway, my FedEx guy is so cool that the dogs are always outside, and he keeps dog biscuits. And it's not unusual that Clink will actually jump into the FedEx truck while the person is finding whatever the package or envelope is.
Right.
Okay? So, I hear outside, and I hear a car pulling in. The windows are open. Smart move, because it's beautiful outside.
Yeah, it's nice.
Bad move, because the allergies are killing us today. Right. But, you know, so I hear the car from outside. I hear the dogs go nuts. I open the door, and I see Clink already walking up the little stairs to go inside, because the guy's got the sliding thing open.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives me the wave, and he walks towards the back of the truck. And I hear him say, I got a couple of things, nothing big, a couple of envelopes for you, maybe a box. You order anything from Amazon? And I said, yeah, a couple of books.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm standing there, I'm just standing there with Max, and Clink, the German Shepherd, is inside the FedEx truck. And I hear, as the guy's coming back up, he goes, oh, Jesus. So I go closer, and I go, hey, what's going on? Everything okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now the guy, my friendly FedEx guy,
uh-huh.
says, I gave your dog a biscuit. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it went in and came out liquefied within a matter of had to be 1 minute.
Wow. Not, don't tell me it's in his truck.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Why would I make
this
up?
The cab or the area where they had the packages.
Fortunately for him, because I got in the truck and helped him clean it out.
Oh, my God.
It was the raised area where they walk.
Okay. Well, I don't know whether that's better. I mean, he obviously doesn't have to deal with it, but it's all over the packages.
No. It was on the floor.
Okay.
It was.
Oh my God.
Runny.
Yeah.
It was very moist.
Oh my God. I guess it would have been worse if it had been in the cab, of the truck.
He was the way that these trucks are. I don't know if you've ever been inside a FedEx truck, but at least at this one, they you open up the back or the side, and then you walk in, and it's got an aisle,
right?
And it's got a raised. What, Rob?
It
what?
Should have been a UPS truck.
Yes.
What has Brown done for you?
Okay.
Would have been more appropriate. It truly would have.
Anyway, the guy couldn't have been cooler.
All I remember is like when you had it in your car and you couldn't get it out, and it's the same kind of situation.
It is.
The dog has a terrible stomach.
And, well, here's the thing. The vets have told me, be careful what you feed him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even think that the FedEx guy has got whatever, Scrapple treat or whatever it is. But, I mean, from the time it goes in my dog's mouth to the time it comes out liquefied,
60 seconds.
Maybe 60 seconds.
You should have told the FedEx guy not to treat Clink with a chimichanga.
So,
very bad to do that.
So that was not great.
But it was isolated on the floor of the thing, and it wasn't touching any packages, you were able to...
It smelled.
Yeah.
It smelled like rotten baby diaper, which is why I got from the FedEx guy, oh, my God.
Yes.
So I go inside, and I get all the rags, and we clean up. And
help him.
Anyway, now I'm on to the grocery store, and I'm going to name the grocery store because, it could be any grocery store, but it's Harris Teeter.
Right.
It's not the usual Safeway.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
nice
it's one. Harris
I've been
Teeter.
In those. Those are neat.
Very nice.
Nice upscale grocery store. So I'm just buying some stuff, You know, for the week, I got my dog food, shocker, all the crap that I got to get.
Right.
And it's on my way to work today. Nothing perishable, but I don't want to make the stop on the way home tonight, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Now, in this store, there are not a lot of checkers at the time that I'm there.
Okay.
There are two checkers, and there's like eight people in line.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a basket that's got, I don't know, maybe, not that I counted, but 17 things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could have gone to the do-it-yourself thing,
right?
Where you scan it yourself,
I
find that's a CF.
That is always a CF.
As soon as you start that with the barcode, immediately it says, see manager for, you know, and like...
It's crap. It's a stupid idea. They never should have done it.
And you're standing there waiting for someone to come by and help you, right. And nobody comes by. And then at the very end, when you're done, you can't just get your receipt. They've got to look over your receipt like when you're leaving Best Buy.
Right. They say eventually the technology will exist that you will be able to load up a cart with groceries, go through a scanner, and they will be able to scan everything that's in your bag one fell swoop.
Here is my complaint.
Yeah.
Most grocery stores have this feature. When you if you use a debit card,
right.
You can get cash back.
Sure.
Okay? Now, keep in mind that at this particular Harris Teeter, there is an ATM, Bank of America ATM, roughly 20 paces from where the woman in front of me is checking out.
She's doing your banking.
And she's checking out, but she's not doing banking.
All right.
She's checking out. She's buying. I've got 17 items. She's got about 17,000 items.
Okay. Did she have a change purse?
It's a long, tedious process. Mm-hmm. And we get to the very end, and the girl says, the checker says, credit or debit? And she says, debit. And she says, okay, swipe your card, you know, because the dumb woman's not dumb this yet. She says, swipe the card. Now, put in the amount you'd like. So she puts in the amount. She says, okay, press OK. And meanwhile, I'm standing behind them, you know, doing this with my fingers. You know, just, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And now I hear the checker say, I've got to get authorization on anything over
$200. Oh, boy. So she's taking $200 on top of her groceries?
No. She wants, on top of her groceries,
yeah.
She wants to take out $500.
Wow.
Now,
oh, my God.
Now, at this point, the checker says to her, I'm hearing this as I'm standing behind. The checker says, credit or debit? The woman says, debit, and I would like cash back. The checker said, fine, swipe your card, put the amount in, and push OK.
People normally do like 20, 50
right.
bucks.
Right. So she pushes OK. Then the checker says, I'm going to have to get someone to approve this. Now, as she started to walk away, the woman said, hold on, I know I've got the money in the account. Why do you have to get anything to do with it? This is supposed to be something that's supposed to help me. So at this point, I'm on this woman's side. It's like the process is now going to be slowed down.
If they do it and it's part of their thing to do, even at that amount, it's fine, right?
The checker says to the woman, ma'am, and she leans in so no one can hear, but I'm close enough that I can hear. She right. says, you know, normally people get like $100, maybe $200. You've asked for $500. I have to go over and talk to the manager, who's the guy behind, like, where they sell cigarettes and junk like that.
Right.
She says, I have to go get that approved. And the woman started having an S-fit. She said, well, why do you have to have it approved? I've got the money in my account. All I want is my money. All I want is my money! And the woman said, now the checker said, because it's $500, mm-hmm. we have to get it approved.
Yeah, I mean, that's valid, too.
The checker says, I don't have $500 in cash to begin with.
Somebody said
register.
That to me, I would find that acceptable. I mean, you know, what the hell?
What I said then, because now I'm looking at, you know, tick, 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 hello, valuable seconds that I could be wasting thinking about something else, mm-hmm. you know, standing here. So I say, again, I interject myself. I say, ladies, you know, as the man standing behind with 17 eyes, I go, ladies, if you don't mind me, I understand the situation here. You don't have $500 in cash. Ma'am, have you noticed? There's an ATM right there. She turns to me and she says, I don't want to pay. And the accent, I don't even know. You know, I don't eat it. Combination, Italian, Polish.
Right.
I don't know what melting pot this bitch comes from.
He beat me. She turns, straight up.
She turns around to me and she says, I don't want to pay the $2 charge.
Right.
And I said, excuse me? And she said, I'm not a Bank of America customer, so it would charge me $2 to get the money. I said, I'll give you $2 if you would please go to the ATM. She said, why would you want to give me money? And I said, because I just want to check out. I've waited and waited. You want $500. You should go to a bank for $500. Now, I wasn't screaming.
Right. It made me late already.
I said, you should go to a bank for $500 or to an ATM for $500. She said, I think it's a policy of the grocery store that that's why I come here, that I know that I'm going to pay a little bit more for some items, but I know that I can get my $500 or whatever I want, and I don't pay the fee. Now, at this point, it's just she and I, because the lady, the checker, is still over with the guy in the cigarette department.
Now, if she is legit, if that is the policy and she's done it before, I see her point, not wanting to pay the
I
ATM.
Don't. No. I said to her, and I couldn't help looking. I said, because you can see the screen with her checkout price. She spent $278.
Wow, that's a lot of groceries.
She had two full carts. I said, ma'am, and I made sure I called her ma'am. Yeah, I said, ma'am, you just spent almost $300 on groceries. You'll want $500 in cash. I'm betting you've probably got a pretty nice late model car outside. I don't really follow this over $2. I said, I'm a guy that just wants to buy my stuff and leave. May I please give you the $2 so that you do not have to worry about going to the ATM to get the money?
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the checker comes back.
All right.
Before the checker can say anything, this woman says, right out of the blue, checker comes back, opens her mouth, the woman says, this man has been harassing me.
Oh, no.
These people have seen it. This was today, 12:25.
Wow.
Reston, Virginia.
Right. She used the H word.
This man was harassing me. Now, meanwhile, all of my fellow soldiers, all of my fellow consumers,
right,
who I know were with me, because nobody said, hey, shut up. A couple of people actually, while this was going on, got out of line and went to the other line because they saw that this is like the slow-up of slow-ups.
There's an altercation happening up at the front.
She says, he is harassing me. And I said, oh, honey. Come, I swear to God, I said, honey, please, I'm harassing you. This is about $2. I turned around and I said, can we take a collection from the people here? I said, I know you've all heard this. I'm getting nothing.
Yeah, everybody's afraid.
Deer in the headlights.
Right.
Right? Nothing. Meanwhile, before the checker has even told her the deal or no deal on her $500, I got the manager now coming over.
Right.
So now he comes over.
Is there a problem here?
And no. And he is the big black president.
Mm-hmm.
He looks just like Dennis
Haysbert.
Haysbert,
right.
Right. He's a big, gigantic black man. And he comes over and he says, he looks right at me.
What's the problem here?
And I say, oh, Christ. Listen, I just want to buy my stuff. I said, this lady in front of us was slowing things down by wanting to get $500 in cash, and the cashier had to go get you to get permission, and I told her there was an ATM right there, and it's a $2 fee, and I volunteered to pay the fee, and all I really want to do is get my grocery. And then she says, he's harassed me from the time that she left. He's harassed me. I said, harassed? I said I would pay the $2. He looked at my bill. I said, what do you mean I looked at your bill? Your bill is the computer right in front of everybody. You spent $277. She said, see? See?
Oh, my
He's
God.
He's harassing me. So, you know what happens?
What?
Here's what happens. This is where it works out great for me.
Okay.
Great for me.
Good.
I've wasted maybe 10 minutes on this.
Right.
But what's great is they cannot give the woman $500.
Right. So that's one in the W column for you right
now,
there.
The reason they cannot give her the $500 is that they've just had, and the manager is trying to explain this to her, whatever shift it is that has just taken over, a lot of the money has just left the place. A lot of the money will be coming back in right now.
They don't have the cash on hand.
And now she's off me and she's on him. She says, wait, in this big, beautiful grocery store, you do not have $500? And he says, we have a limited amount of cash for every register. As more people come in, and meanwhile, I'm standing there really looking at my watch now going, there's not going to be a show today.
Man, she's really thinking of others, obviously. Yeah.
And everybody behind me in line has moved.
Yes.
And they've all gone to aisle 7. I'm the only schmuck that's still standing there waiting for a resolution. What happens is, finally, the guy, and this manager, had the patience of a saint.
Mm-hmm.
He stood there and listened to her bad camel breath. As she just, you know, said, this man harassed me. Then you tell me, you can't give me the money. And I come in. And the guy said, ma'am, and this is his crucial mistake.
Right.
He said, I would consider it an honor and a privilege if you would allow me to simply pay the $2 fee to the Bank of America ATM. Then she takes, it's like this, it's like boom, boom. She looks at me like, he did the same thing you did. She says, I do not want to be treated like this. I do not want you. I want the money cash back. I want the money for my account. $500. I want it now. So what happens is the guy says to her, we don't have the $500.
No can do.
What they did was they moved her out of the way.
Yeah.
They took her two carts. They moved them out of the way. Mm-hmm. And the man said to her, would you step over here and discuss it with me, please? And she said, oh, yes, I will. Yes, I will. So she was over having her little scene.
Total victory for you, I would imagine.
Having her little scene. Now, the checker, meanwhile, that was involved in all of this,
right,
comes back, and she's, you know, beep, 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 my stuff. Right. And then we get to the end, and she says, credit or debit.
And your comedy scene kick in on this one?
Yeah. I looked at her and I said, I think, debit. Debit, definitely debit. And she said, do you want cash back? And I said, yes. And she said, okay, just put the amount in, blah, blah, blah. And
You didn't say $500.
Of course I did. Of course I did. Now, the woman, this poor cashier who was put in the middle of all of this, uh-huh. She's, as soon as she sees the amount, here's all I see from behind this giant cash register. I just see these tiny eyes come around like, hey, Dick.
Yeah. She didn't like the joke.
The look that she's given me is just like, Dick. And then all I see are these two pouty eyes. And,
right,
she says, you don't really want $500, do you? I said, I don't want any money. She said, okay. Okay. So she checks me out, and I mean, I had she checked me out,
of course.
So I'm leaving, and the woman is still arguing,
sure,
with the dude.
Probably still
at the cigarette counter, right? Now I don't say anything to her. I don't say nothing to her. I leave the store, and it's not over with the woman yet, because. Just because. I mean, listen, this is me. These things happen to me sometimes. Mm-hmm. Anybody that was in the store today will tell you that this is the absolute God's honest truth. I leave the store, and I think that this is over, and I've got a funny little story to tell on the radio.
Yes.
Now, when I left this grocery store, I took the cart out of the little area that they have fenced in. They have room where you can get the cart out.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought it over to my, I have my smaller car today, and opened up the trunk and was loading the groceries in. Lo and behold, guess who's walking out? Oh, the Prince of Sheba. And here she comes now. She's walking right at me.
The password is no witnesses. Now you can really give it to her, because, you know, I hope this has a happy ending where you really lay into her.
Yeah, now what happens is that she's coming out, and she's, now I see her, I make eye contact with her right away, and I don't think anything about it. I'm running late. I'm putting the stuff in my car.
Right.
She walks past me. As she walks past, she says, and it was such a typical, just, bitch, suburban, spoiled, Toyota, Land Cruiser, Louis Vuitton, bitch. She says, as she's walking by,
that's illegal.
And I said, excuse me? Because I think she's giving me crap about back in the store. Mm. And she says, as she's walking away, it's like this. She says,
that's illegal. They have those new partitions there because you're not allowed to take the grocery carts away.
Oh.
Don't you see? Most people pull up in front of the store. When I go to get my groceries, I'm going to turn you in.
And I said to her, when I get to my job today, I'm going to turn you in. And I know you love doing this too, Mike. Very controlled. I said, you got to have a radio in that luxury vehicle. And she said, yes. I said, today at 3 o'clock, and it's too bad we're late now.
Right.
And so I said, turn on 106.7. I said, I'm going to talk all about you. I'm going to talk all about you and how you had to have $500 and you don't want to pay $2.
Right.
And now what? Because I brought the card out to my car, what? You want to turn me in? Go ahead, lady, turn me in. Now she looks at me and she says, do you see anywhere to put the cart? Because they don't have like an area
for them.
A cart corral. And story ends, true story. I say, how about up your ass and just stand there?
Uh-huh.
I'm in the back of my car, and the cart is next to the back of my car, and the trunk is still open. And she says to me, do you see anywhere to put the cart?
And you said,
nobody else is doing that. The way that you do it is you drive up and they load it in. And the third time she said, do you see anywhere to put the cart?
And then that's when you gave the suggestion of where you were going to put it?
How about up your ass? And then here's her big bold move. I don't believe. She comes over and she writes down my license plate.
Oh, my. You're in trouble now, buddy.
She writes. So I said, will you give me a moment, please? I go in my car and I get out a Sharpie and my pen and I go to the back of her car. I write down. She goes, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm writing down your license plate.
Right.
And she said, why? I said, because you're writing down my license plate.
That's right.
I mean, really. This is how
it's like a crowd gathering, like you two are going to come to blows
No, it was the two of us. She was parked two spaces away from me for whatever reason, and here's how it ended.
She lost her little battle with the $500.
How it ended was she went and got in her car, and I think that she was pretending to pick up the... she may have actually been calling someone venting about me.
Right.
But she did that thing where, because I'm still loading the groceries in my car, and when she gets in her car, I see her on the cell phone, and she's looking over at me, and she's pointing, and then she's picking up the piece of paper that she wrote my license down on.
Right.
And she's going, hello, 911? Yes. He took the cart out of the area at Harris Teeter. Here's his license plate, big radio fat ass.
Lock him up.
So,
oh, my God.
So I look at her, and while she's doing this, I give her this with my hand. Because I see her on the telephone.
Right. Wow.
And then, just because I felt like it, and what the hell, what I did was, now, there was my car, empty space, her car. And in between us, kind of an island that has like a little shrubbery.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like
a divider in a parking lot of a grocery store. What I did was I took the grocery cart. Now, I had plenty of room between both of our cars and moved it in between them. And when I got it by the curb, I popped it up on its back wheels and boom, pushed that thing in the air and rolled it right in the middle, right by the little tree, and looked at her and said, heck?
He's crazy.
Oh, what a bitch.
God.
What a bitch.
That's what life is like here now, though.
What a bitch.
Others. I find myself saying that more and more. Mm-hmm. Others.
All the time.
Really?
Jesus.
$500.
Yeah.
This man is harassing me.
I don't want to pay the ATM charge.
Do these things happen to anybody else?
Yes.
Or is it just the fact that nobody else... not that I'm a champion of rights.
No, but you speak your mind.
Nobody else will stand up and say, like, hey, listen, bitch.
You know, the bottom line is
$2.
A lady like that is not concerned about anybody but herself.
That's
so when you say something, she is completely at ease with behaving like that because nobody ever does it. And if you have the temerity to say something to her, she's gonna be all over you because she's not used to it. She gets away with it all the time. You know, more people ought to do that because I'm a big one for, you know, the people that were standing by you and behind you in line and staring.
Yeah.
That I'm a big one for backing up. I like taking sides in that. If somebody's into something with somebody, I believe in that. I believe in like supporting somebody who's being a good person.
And I know you know this.
Not a good person, but somebody who's speaking their mind and just letting somebody
for
know.
Justice.
I was getting the vibe from the people behind me while we were starting the fight about the $500.
Right.
That they were pissed too.
Mm-hmm. They're pissed too. That nobody wants to get involved.
That
right.
We were all standing there with our carts waiting just to buy this crap.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't, because, you know, King Abdullah's wife has to have $500 freaking dollars.
I like to get involved in stuff like that. Well, yeah, listen to me, the guy that hid in the hotel room while a woman was being punched. Yeah, maybe I don't get involved. Anyway, I probably, you know, if it was you and I've seen you when you get that way that you get, I'd probably sit there and just be looking at you too, you know, just all of a sudden. You'd look back at me, you know, for a little support, and I'd just start playing with the gum.
No, I'd back you. I started something at a car wash last Saturday, as a matter of fact.
Really?
I had a couple of people cut in front of me in line. One lady, she didn't know what she was doing. She did it by accident. I saw that, wrote it off as a dumbass move. But there was a guy who also cut in the line who did it clearly on purpose. He knew what he was doing. So I waited until we were all the way up to the checkout, you know, to pay the lady at the car wash. And that's when I said, hey, by the way, thanks for cutting in line in front of us. The bottom line to the story is the lady who accidentally cut in line actually joined in with me and helped scold the young man and remind him that it's just common courtesy.
Scolding.
Yes.
I like that. We ought to scold people.
Yes.
Robbie wasn't doing that. I don't think he was doing that.
Like a kite.
Really? Buzz going to the car wash. Hi.
And the celebrity that she most resembled?
Who?
Now that I think about it.
Yeah.
And really, I'm not kidding. Baruch's mom. Uh-huh. She had kind of that Middle Eastern look about her.
A little older, a little longer in the tooth.
So if you find out on Monday that like gas is $6 a gallon, because King Abdullah's wife is pissed off.
She got mad.
Don't blame me.
But a lady of privilege, obviously.
Don't blame me.
A lady of means.
And, you know, and she's only saying, and I won't go on long about this, who am I kidding, about the, taking the carts away from the little area that they have fenced in. There's nothing that pisses me off more than going to a grocery store, getting the stuff. First, they put them in the plastic bags, which, unless your car is perfectly equipped, the stuff spills out everywhere.
Right, exactly.
You got to pack it perfectly. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll go with that. But I'm not going to take the extra step of when I'm leaving the store, leaving my groceries
right
in front of the store, while I go all the way to my car, then come to the car and be like a dick standing out there while people are walking in, loading my groceries in.
Yeah, the only reason I think they do that is car corrals aren't chic. You know what I mean?
Right.
At the upscale stores like that, grocery store, we can't have those pesky carts out in the parking lot.
And that's one thing I love about Safeway, and that's why I'm loyal to Safeway, because Safeway has gigantic, like, big red plastic, absolutely indestructible things.
Right.
You bring your cart out to the car. You know what you do? You're 30 feet away from the goddamn thing.
The cart corral.
You're 30 feet away from the garage for these things. You know what you do? You push it.
Right.
You just push it and hope that it makes it in.
Oh, yeah. You just roll it in there.
And nobody.
You know, a guy, I was at a Safeway, and this guy got mad at me because of what I did with the cart. I loaded the groceries in the back of my truck, and then I just left the cart right in the middle of the road where the cars go by. And he got mad.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
People.
You know? I mean, so he had to put the car in reverse and go back and drive down the other driveway.
But it's a jerk.
God, people are so sensitive.
Really, you can take that cart. And if for whatever reason, if you're feeling good, you're feeling bad, maybe, when you go to put that baby away, you can just slam it into whatever, you know, the 5, 6, 20 carts that are already in there.
Another guy gets pissed at me because I go into the Giant and I use the, the Rascal cart that they have in there. I didn't know they were for special people.
You get him to go pretty fast?
He said, you just walked in here and got into the Rascal cart. I said, yes, it's convenient.
I mean,
you can't get the items on the higher shelves. You got to get out of the damn thing. I was thinking, you know, to make that the perfect item, you'd have a little switch that would raise the thing up so you could get the very items on the top shelf.
Bring the wand.
Yeah, the wand would work.
Magic wand. All right, kids.
I love that thing. It goes fast, too.
Yeah.
Let me see.
About 35.
Mm-hmm.
Do we dare do this? Do we dare? It's been 2 weeks in a row that we've tried make, John Norman laugh.
I know we have.
And we've had dumbasses calling us all week about this.
Oh, yeah. People love it.
So it's the end of the week. What the hell? Our prices are insane.
Insane!
We'll put 10 big minutes on the clock.
I don't know what it is, but people have been clamoring for this all week.
877-365-3636. We take unscreen calls. John Norman, who's one of our behind-the-scenes producers, celebrity he most resembles, Jim Carrey in The Cable Guy. He's dark. He has demons. He has deep-seated anger.
Yeah. Right.
He has emotional issues.
He laughs at the misfortune of others.
That's
he
right.
is filled with schadenfreude.
So, the deal is this. You call up, tell a joke, tell a story, sing a song, do whatever it takes to make him laugh. If you make John Norman laugh, we got $200 in cash, plus we've got the Jimmy Buffett tickets, win them before you can buy them, plus we've got the HBO Sopranos prize pack.
Very good.
All right? So here we go, but only one segment. 10 minutes max.
All right. Good luck to you.
877-365-3636. This will be 3 weeks in a row now with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally it pays off when we get a winner. We might have to go a second segment, but we normally get a winner.
Can you penetrate John Norman's reinforced bunker?
And what we like about John is the fact that he won't fake it.
Right.
That's right.
And there have been, I mean, when we did it on last Friday's episode, there was stuff that made me laugh and stuff that made you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the joke about, I sound like dicks for saying this, but like the joke about SIDS.
Right.
Yeah.
That was evil enough where, and that didn't get him.
Now that made me laugh. You
right.
Laugh.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, I told it that night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, sometimes.
What is it, like Long and Stiff and Blue or something like that? Yeah.
You know, for all the time you yell and scream about our callers and our bits and stuff, sometimes you get something that's so good that really you can go home and like appear to be like a funny guy.
Yeah. It makes a woman crazy.
They love it.
Oh, God.
It doesn't drive him nuts.
Mm-hmm. That was... He didn't laugh at that one.
No, I did.
He didn't. And
did you laugh?
Of
course you did. So anyway,
see if you can do it with Johnny.
That's a setup. 877-365-3636. Call that phone Jeopardy. I'm kidding. We'll be right back.
And them too.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm not dead yet.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. Your daily mental floss. The Don and Mike Show.
Now we're joined again in studio by John Norman, the dark John Norman.
Hi, John.
Hello.
I don't mean skin color.
No.
I mean simply mood.
Sensibility.
Mood.
Mood.
The mood.
John's mood ring would be cloudy gray.
Unlike all of ours that are white hot.
Just bright, sunshiny, happy.
Sunshiny.
Glad to be with you. It's good looking for Friday.
Perky, happy, joy.
And don't forget, it's Friday, F-R-Y day. Meaning that we're going to be giving away free fries at your local McCrazy's.
Please come by for the turkey-tacular.
Watch for the panty van.
Yes.
Give me our pap smear van.
It's happy time all around.
All right, John, before we get into what is a record-breaking third edition of Make John Laugh, we'll ask you again, what type of day have you had, John?
I've had a great day.
Ah, and it is Friday.
It is Friday.
Fridays are better now that you work on this show, don't you believe?
Oh.
See, John used to be the production director, and he was responsible for all the commercials that would be recorded and put into the studio,
right.
And Friday was his busiest day. He would be here on a Friday longer because all the salespeople like to put things in at the last minute.
Plans for the weekend?
Yes, going to go play disc golf up in West Virginia.
Disc golf?
Now, what is that?
It is exactly like golf. It's played with Frisbees.
Where's the cricket?
It's a growing sport.
I mean, why whisper?
You know what that sound also is? Oh, my. That's the sound when they play disc golf at night.
You can do that. We have glow-in-the-dark discs.
Oh, sure. Really?
Yep.
Okay.
That's too much
fun. All right, Thrill Seeker, here we go.
Kind of cool.
877-365-3636. 10 minutes on the clock. On-screen calls. Make John laugh. $200. Jimmy Buffett tickets. Win them before you can buy them. Go on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m., Ticketmaster.com. And also the Sopranos surprise pack. Don't forget the only episode of the Sopranos, Sunday night at 9, 8 Central on HBO. Ready, Robbie?
Here
we go. And go. Hey. Mike Show, hello. Make Johnny laugh.
Hello there. Googly Moogly, first time caller. Hey, John.
Yes.
Why don't girls in San Francisco wear miniskirts?
I don't know why.
Their balls will show.
Bye!
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Please.
Hello.
Hey, John.
Yes?
What's 18 inches long and makes women scream?
That would be SIDS.
Crib death.
Same thing.
Bye!
Nice try, though.
God, I mean, come on! Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, make Johnny laugh.
Yo, what's up, John?
What's up?
Man, look, man, I've been driving for an hour. What the hell is the Don and Mike building? I didn't see a sign.
Bye!
Okay, you know, I'm just pointing out a fact that they said they were going to put a sign on the outside of the building.
But yeah, that's not funny. That's a tragedy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Johnny laugh. Hello? Yeah, make him laugh. Go ahead.
Hey, new remake from all the popularity from Lonesome Dove. They've got Who Shot All Over Liberty Valance?
Nice cell phone.
Now, did you mean Brokeback Mountain instead of Lonesome Dove?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, you did. Okay.
Bye!
You can always tell them there's a little delay. When they don't know they're on, they're not going to do well.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Practice.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make John laugh.
Here's another delay.
Hello there, you're on the air. Make Johnny laugh.
John.
Yes.
Why did Helen Keller's dog jump off a cliff?
I think I heard this, but I don't know. Why?
You would, too, if your name was...
Bye!
Variation on a theme. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Johnny laugh.
Hey, John.
Hello.
How do we know Jesus wasn't born in Mexico?
I don't know.
Oh, we've heard this
Didn't find two wise men or a virgin. Bye!
So old.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make John laugh.
Riddle me this. When Michael J. Fox puts on the condom, do you think he finishes before he gets to the bottom?
It's more of a theoretical question.
Thinking man.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'll be thinking about that all week.
Someone called David Frost with that.
Yes.
Is he alive?
Don.
Yes. Hello.
Hello. Call Dick Cavett with that caveat. Caveat. Cavett. Cavanaugh.
This is Dick Cavett.
Somebody called. Call our friend Tom Snyder with that.
Tom Snyder.
Stay short, lush BS.
Hello.
Plant one on one of my guests.
Yes, hello.
Make John laugh.
All right, there's a business executive in Japan on a golf trip, okay?
Okay.
He goes the eve of the golf trip, he meets this fine Japanese woman, takes her back to his hotel room. They get to getting what's good, and the whole time she's screaming, Domao. He thinks nothing of it. The next day he's on the putting green. One of the Japanese executives sinks this long putt on the putting green, right? And he screams, Domao. And this guy's like, what's the problem? He goes, wrong hole.
Bye!
Okay.
Hold it so well.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Sure it does. Doing it the bad way. I mean, it wasn't funny, but I get it.
Right. How would you do that on a golf course?
The bad way.
Hello, Don and Mike
Show. Stop editorializing.
Hello, make John laugh.
All right, why do Colonel Sanders' kids throw up every time they see his extra crispy chicken?
Why?
Because it reminds them of his sack.
Bye!
Stupid. Wow. Made me and Mike not laugh, but grin. Hello, Don.
Don and Mike Radio Guys.
Make John laugh.
John.
Yes.
Two ladies. One was Beth McBride sitting on a bar stool. And one said, boy, my butt is so sore, it fell asleep. Beth McBride said, yeah, I heard it. It farted three times.
Bye!
Right. Wow, that was well done,
oh,
sir.
Oh, my God.
I miss Beth McBride.
Wow.
When she was on this show.
Wow, boy, I tell you, this is amateur videos here.
Don and Mike Show, make John laugh. Where are all the people that called for this all week?
Well, and a refrigerator.
What? Hello, what?
What's the difference between a homosexual and a refrigerator?
Something about meat going rotten.
The refrigerator.
And it's nice when you pick up the phone and he's at the punchline.
Don and Mike Show, hello. Make John laugh.
Yeah, John?
Yes?
Yeah. A cab driver sitting at a red light and Carrie Spiewak jumps in the back completely naked and says, take me downtown. And he says, well, how are you going to pay? You obviously don't have any money. So she spreads her legs a little bit, and he looks down and says, you got anything smaller?
I only applaud you for working Rob's wife into the material.
Tried to personalize the bad telling of the joke.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It's only partly true.
Hello,
Don Mike.
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay.
Make John.
Don.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knock, knock.
Oh, you got a bad phone,
bad
right?
Bad cell phone.
What was that? Knock, knock.
Knock, knock.
Mm-hmm. All right, who's there?
Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney.
Bang.
What?
He went bang.
Bang. 5 minutes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
The hey, John.
Longest five minutes of the week. Hello.
Yeah, hey, John.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right, I'm going to put a moratorium on the Hey Johns, okay?
What?
You know
what?
He's here. Tell the joke, okay? What?
What do Pink Floyd and Dale Earnhardt have in common?
What do who and Dale Earnhardt have in common?
Would this be Dale Earnhardt senior?
What do Pink Floyd and Dale Earnhardt have in common?
Oh, what? Okay.
What?
Their last greatest hit was The Wall.
Well, then.
All okay. Right.
I got to admit, I smiled. Because I was trying to think, what could it possibly be?
Yeah.
Last big hit was The Wall. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing?
Make John laugh, please.
Three guys wanted to get together and play golf on Christmas morning. They're trying to come up with a way to get there. They say, hey, let's just do whatever we got to do. Be here at 9 o'clock in
three
the morning.
Is?
He's just making me laugh the way you talk.
Three guys. I thought he said golf. Three guards.
Three guys went into golf Christmas Day. So Christmas Day rolls around. The first one comes walking up, standing there waiting for his other buddies. Pretty soon here comes the other one. Gets there, he says, man, can't believe it. Christmas Day, we're here. What's the deal? What do you have to do? He goes, well, roll over this morning, told the wife, look in the closet. She looked in the closet.
Bye!
Right,
we got
a time limit.
Thank you. Thanks for the joke, Edgar.
Or you'll be Christmas by the time he gets to the punchline.
Don and Mike, make John laugh.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great.
What do you call an anorexic woman with a yeast infection?
I have no idea.
Quarter pounder with cheese.
Bye!
Just feel free to jump in, Mike. Don't
Don and Mike
trouble.
Show. Hello, Don and Mike
Show.
Who's there?
The insulting, interrupting cow.
No.
Move your dirty son of a bitch!
Bye!
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Jaded.
Make Johnny laugh.
Hey, baby.
Hello.
Hey, what's the difference between Mike's band, Mike's restaurant, and Mike O'Mara?
I don't know.
One sounds like crap, one tastes like crap, and one's full of crap.
Bye!
Dumbass!
I'm sorry, only two out of three laughed.
Right.
Make John laugh.
That's right.
Mike and I both just crazily fell on the floor.
We were so amused.
Personalize the next one about me, please. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Or Carrie.
The other night I was making the beast with my wife in the bad place. And when I pulled the beast out, there was a pea on the end. So I slapped her in the back of the head and said, bitch, chew your food.
Hold on,
and we didn't laugh, and he did.
I'm surprised.
Wow.
Hold on a second.
Wow.
That's...
Look at him.
Look at him. Clean that
this
up.
Is real.
Get on the microphone.
Well done, sir.
Oh, wow.
There's no need to clean that up.
We found his wheelhouse.
That joke was fine as told.
Wow.
That joke is absolutely...
It took me all week to figure out how to word it. So
you know what? Okay. John and I didn't laugh, but John Norman went nuts.
I mean, John had to...
That's what it counts.
Let me turn off the clown music.
Laughed
John,
up.
You really, really... Yes.
It was the bit about slap that I think that he liked. Yeah. He enjoyed that.
I laughed when I saw him laugh. That was funny.
Chew your food.
That's why
your
right.
That's why this game is sometimes good.
Wow, food. Look at that.
He's still laughing.
He's loving every minute
still
of it.
Still laughing.
Thank you. You've made my week, sir.
Wow.
You're welcome, John.
That caught me completely by surprise. That really, really did.
Wow. My friend, Mr. Dumas, what is your name, please?
My name is Steve.
Steve, where are you from?
Sacramento.
All right, Steve, here you go. Jimmy Buffett tickets.
Oh, no, that's for here.
I have an uncle in D.C.
There you go.
There you go.
Bingo.
John, don't be a problem. Be a problem solver.
All right, I'm gone.
If I say something, just nod your head and say yes.
Play along.
Very, very sorry. I will go back to where I belong.
Chew your food.
Thank you for laughing. Yeah, chew your food.
Thanks, Johnny.
Chew your food. There he goes. There's a pee on there.
He got tears in his eyes. He was laughing so hard at that. He loved that.
Yeah.
Look, there's a pee there. Eat your food.
Chew your food.
Jimmy Buffett live. Thursday, August 3rd, Nissan Pavilion here in D.C. Plus, you get $200 in cash. Plus, you get the HBO Sopranos prize pack. Don't miss the Sopranos. Have we done enough commercials for them now? That's Sunday night on HBO.
You've done exactly the right amount.
That's wonderful.
Office. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you for making Johnny laugh. And finally.
Wow.
So next Friday, we don't have to do it.
And did he catch you by surprise like he caught me? I mean, he unhinged his jaw and started guffawing.
I didn't see it coming. Nor did I.
Wow.
I mean, the guy was sitting there through, well, most of that was mediocre. But there were some at least, snicks, some S's and giggles.
A couple of yucks. Right. It tells you a lot about the person.
Sure does.
You know, I'm starting to just weave a whole thing together. There's a little of the schadenfreude there. There's a little violence. Mm-hmm. But I got to think that he might be a member of the club, Buzz.
Yeah, sounds like it.
It just goes to show you can kill anything if you have the right ammunition. Just got to know the ammunition.
That's right.
All right, we'll let it go down on this day in history. There you go.
Who would have thought that Johnny makes the Beast in the Bad Place?
Somebody finally made it laugh.
Yeah. Wow.
Mind your P's and Q's.
Yeah. I'll tell you. Well, you know, it's almost season. It'll be spring pretty soon. Well, I guess peas come out in the summer.
No, it's a spring vegetable.
Oh, it's a spring vegetable.
Yeah, very early.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I haven't had a good pee in a year.
You should see a doctor.
What up,
Bob? Okay, we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What? What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show. Equally attractive to both sexes. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. From the email at DonnaMikeWebsite.com. I only wish this woman would call, a woman named Laura, who writes, Don, were you at the Harris Theater at the Reston Town Center today? 12:12 p.m. Were you wearing a black knit shirt? Well, I'd say the shirt that I'm wearing is close enough. Do you have a silver car? I do. Was the woman wearing? Hold on, I just gotta say, it's Chicago.
As I was working,
it's not enough. It's in your blood.
Was the woman wearing fur? Was she driving a black Toyota Land Cruiser? All of these are true.
Yeah.
All of these facts are true.
Lauren was there.
And then she writes, "What a bitch! I saw her yelling at you." Nice to see you. Love the show. Laura.
Very nice. Very, very good.
So even better than sending an email, call.
Yes.
I mean, I would love to know what someone thought.
And she said the woman was yelling at you.
Yes.
Right.
If you saw that happen today, that's what. Oops. I'm never going to give you a cinnamon stick, Don Geronimo. I'm going to take down your license plate.
It stuck?
There. Oh, thank you, Rob. There you go. Well, now.
Well, then, hey.
Much?
All jammed up.
I'll get back to it. Mike.
Yes.
Michael.
Yes.
How are things with Carla?
Good.
Good.
Very good. I as good as can be expected. I will still be stepping lightly and trying to be. I'm going to try to be extra double good this weekend.
Good for you, Mike.
I really am. I'm going to try to be extra double good and be really nice. I cooked dinner last night. I decided, technically, I'm lying. That's really not. I cooked my own dinner last night. I asked her if she wanted me to cook her something, and she made a little something for herself. So that was it. And normally, you know, she kind of likes to cook, and so she does a lot of dinner. And, you know, I said, please allow me to take over that responsibility this evening. It's the very, very least I could do. No, I came in, pulled in my garage, and was walking into the house. I said, I heard, hey, she's walking the dog, went across the lawn, gave her a big hug.
Good.
And then a lot of hugs after that, and then another hug today, you know, because she's moving into a new office today. Yeah. So it's very, very nice. Very, very nice.
Any intercourse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're asking, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good sign.
I think so.
So I whipped up a little something we call beef Wellington. Just you know, just very, very quickly.
Was that the facts or was that the food?
No.
I mean, it seems to me that
it was okay until there was a, you know, I saw a piece of vegetable on the end of
finish eating,
and I said, you know, chew your food. No, it was nice,
because if you in fact were able to manipulate that situation, I love that word, manipulate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you were able to talk about it on the air, go through what you went through, and then still get the booty?
Yeah.
That means, my friend, that situation, although it might not come back to bite you in the ass sometime, like,
yeah,
she might,
will,
not,
you,
she
you,
might not have it in her, she'll have it in her back pocket.
That's right. Right.
Yeah. You know,
two words for you. Two words for you. Thank you. No, thanks, coach.
Listen, one time,
because I really went to Don. I was very distraught when I came in. I was so distraught that, and you know, and I don't know whether I should put a sign on the door. And it's not that I don't, you know, trust the rest of you guys, but I do kind of have that moment. And we don't necessarily talk about. In fact, we never talk about really show stuff. Well, we do occasionally, but it's primarily just talking about what's going on in our lives.
Right.
And yesterday when I was sitting there and I would start the story and someone would come in and then I would start the story again. And so
you
guys aren't used to me stopping when you come walking. You're used to me just continuing. And
but
yesterday I was just trying to purge and then purged here on the air.
Right.
But really, as the evening went, as good as it could have possibly been.
And
but I believe that the weekend will. Look, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to do more stuff this weekend because I'm really glad.
I think you already said, GB, because if the night ended with man on woman intercourse,
I won't go into the details of what happened. It wasn't exactly that. It was a little something different.
Oh.
And I will not go into the details.
Can I just ask?
I will not go into the details because it's very different. Very different.
Wow. Strap on?
No.
Was it?
No, not yet.
Okay. Now
a boy can hope, though.
Now was it you on her or her on you?
No.
Can I
none of the above.
It was something of a sexual nature, though.
Yeah. It was naughty.
Okay, either way, that would just...
It was very, very naughty.
That would indicate to me...
And I'm not going to do... Because I would be back in the doghouse.
Yeah.
But not naughty like taboo naughty. It was just naughty, naughty. And I can't... If I say it, I will be in the doghouse again. And I'm not going to... After all the bridge building that I did, I'm not going to get back there again. No, nothing to do with that.
Okay.
You'll be very happy to know that.
Anyway, way to go. I'm glad for you. I think Carla is great for you. And
thank you.
And the fact
that's very nice of you to say that.
The fact that you were able to take getting drunk, pouring a glass of water on her dog.
No, I threw a bottle of water. I threw some bottled water at the dog, and it kind of got everywhere.
She leaves. She walks out. She catches you calling your ex-wife in a drunken stupor. And you turn it around. You come on the air. You tell the story. And then last night, you even sealed the deal.
I didn't say this yesterday, but I thought we were going to do it early in the show. I was going to talk about that early in the show, and then some stuff came up. I think with Jay Severin and Greg Gillespie and stuff came up, and I calmed down after that. But in anticipation of that yesterday of doing that that purging,
right.
I was very, very I was filled with anxiety, very nervous about talking about that. Sure. And as the show went on, I kind of calmed down and I was able to talk about it. But or maybe the first part of the show was just the severe hangover. That might have had something to do with it, you know.
And
my heart rate, like, kind of accelerated.
Was it something she did to you or something you did to her? Last night?
Yes.
Okay.
Very good.
Did she have on, like, those finger condoms?
No.
Have you seen those things?
No.
Have you seen those
you
things?
You are obsessed with that like part if of you the have body. There's only one thing that can happen with that. You are obsessed with
if
that body.
You have
body.
A finger cut. Have you seen those things?
Well, you are obsessed. Yeah. You know that. Yeah, now we
yes,
just
like
got
a banker, Rob.
We just
Thank
got
you.
A window into your soul, you dirty bird. That's for sure. We got a window into your soul.
I only know you so well. I know it makes you happy.
Oh, stop it. Just behave yourself.
Okay. Anyway, congratulations.
I don't know whether I accept the. I want to accept congratulations. I believe that I still have some work to do.
Of course, but listen, she
didn't. And work to do, like in my own house.
She didn't
clean
come
my
on.
Own house.
She didn't leave you. Everything's cool.
And no, Rob, there were not costumes. There were not costumes.
I have no idea.
Also, I should be honest and tell you that I did last night tune in to. And again,
didn't do it.
I just gotta say, it, you know,
I thought it was great last night.
At this point,
I mean, for people that have watched it all along, like Rob and I have, that elimination show was really, really well done.
At this point, to me, it's like somebody you dated and you used to think was hot, and then you see her a couple of years later, and you go, oh, how could I even have...
Can I explain to you why it was great last night for everybody that's watching it? Can I just tell you in a couple of sentences why it was great? It wasn't great till the very, very end. And I think Rob will agree. It was great because the girl that has never lost anything in her life lost. And everybody wanted her to lose because she is the perfect girl. She's the daughter of the anchor woman, or the anchor woman of a father who's some political figure.
A state senator and an anchor woman.
And an anchor woman. She is the perfect. You could tell that she thought she might go. But she was the one who lost it, and it was just, I know that everybody was, am I right? Everybody was feeling the same way.
It was great.
It, because this is the perfect little girl that has never, you know, lost anything. You could tell. In fact, she made a comment. She says, I never cry.
I never cry
because you never have a reason to cry because you're the perfect scholar athlete. You get the scholarship. You win all the competitions.
Say to you guys again, though, from watching the show, and again,
I go back and forth. I got to tell you, I go back and forth.
Just hold on. Right. Hear me out on this.
Okay.
You don't have to watch the whole goddamn show. You can watch the first 10 minutes, the last 10 minutes. They show you recaps of everybody.
Not necessarily last night, though. Last night there was probably a little more because it was just the lingering as you saw her lose it.
Suck!
And it's well-crafted.
The singers suck. Has nobody noticed this? They suck. And I, for one...
You're chiming in over there. You never even... At least he watches the recap, you know?
You know... Excuse me for a second.
Is this about singers being good? Is American Idol about singers being good?
Well, hold on a second.
Not entertainment.
Hey, shut up, you. Step away. This is between he and I.
I get $500.
Yeah, shut up. Didn't I quote Mike O'Mara? Oh, yes, that's right. I like the talent. This year,
what I was saying to you was a joke. I still believe in that. I believe that I watched the show to see the next star come on.
And that's my
point. Last night I didn't. Last night I watched it because I wanted to see the tall girl.
The point that I was trying to make is when
I wanted
to
see the guy that's not that talented stay. So maybe I am contradicting myself.
When I watched, I saw.
When I watched that now, I rooted for the tall girl to be voted off, and I voted for Kevin Covas to make it to the final 12. The little gnome-like boy.
I saw the beginning, and I know that I'm in the minority when Ryan Seacrest comes out and says, hey, 42 million douchebags voted for this last night.
Right.
It's like, God, I'm totally in the minority on this.
Right. Okay. No, but you're not. Wait a minute. I'm going to give you props here because every week I am watching the show less and less. Every week I am watching that. What I'm telling you is that last night's elimination show I found entertaining, and I found entertaining for that one reason. As far as sitting through, you know what I did? I TiVo'd the girls, and I fast-forwarded through most of the performances just to get, like, the voting. And then last night, the other night, I didn't watch the guys at all, and I didn't watch it on TiVo.
Feel like...
But I'm going to go back and watch.
For the ad nauseum time.
Because I want to hear the gray-haired guy sing Taking It to the Streets.
I already know. Again, he dances like a retard. Ooh, we've never had that before. You know. Okay, so here's what it is.
Did you see him sing?
Come on, dog. Come on, dog. And then it's Druggy going, you're really good. And then, you know, how many new ways can they have
Druggy
Simon
being
say?
How many
new ways do you have the Limeys say you suck?
I think she was very tranquilized last night. Because she was just like, when Paula was giving her little farewell speeches, it was something along the lines of, I've been working on her as far as when she's really gone.
Paul Abdul.
You have a real talent, and you should stick with it. And
her eyes are like an ass mask. Yep.
Very
I
Joe-like.
See really big things. I love you. I really do. I think you're great.
And you missed Hi Bo Bice last night.
Oh, and Bo Bice.
Serious.
Horrible. I mean, indescribably horrible. And you're supposed to come back and be, hey, here I am. I've been through this, guys. And right. I was like in the finals. And then he gets up and sings a song that was like needles down there. That's wow. how bad it was. And he's smiling the whole way he's hitting these bad notes. And he's smiling, and he gets done, and he looks like he's going to pass out. Yep. I have heard that he's had some, like, intestinal trouble. Wow. And this guy is, he's got that long, stringy hair that is stuck all over his face because he is dripping. Now, nobody else is sweating on that show, but no. Bo Bice is sweating
and
to death.
Did it look to you like they fixed his teeth, but just not enough?
Well, no. It looked to me like he did not fix that snaggle tooth.
All right, guys.
There you go. Have we used up our allotted time?
Time.
You know what?
Time.
If you had caught me the day before or the day before that, I wouldn't have been able to do what I just did because I wouldn't be excited about it.
I don't know. I love talking out of both sides of my mouth. I don't watch it, but I watch it. But then on the other hand, God, it sucks. And aren't you people all as evolved as me to realize that this is a fad that has passed?
They'll
someday, someday you will all flock to my shrine.
That's right.
You'll say he was a dumbass about a lot of stuff, but God damn it, some things he did know, he knew before the rest of us. American Idol is over. What, boy?
We will welcome you back.
No. No, it's not happening.
Arms wide open.
Not
Look
happening.
At me. I'm Scott Stapp.
Can I say
not
one
yet.
More thing
sure.
about it? I don't... I know I said that I watch it because I want to see, like, the next great talent that comes out. I think I have to back off of that statement. I really do. Because I don't...
Because they suck. Because now you realize that all the singers suck.
I'm not entertained by the singing part. I'm entertained by the judges' comments. I'm entertained by the, like, elimination show when they get voted. Like, that crappy drama of it.
Right.
The singing part, maybe this is the beginning of the end. I don't know, but I am drifting away. And I'm not doing... You know what sucks is because I don't know sometimes how much... You've been on this incredibly irresponsible campaign against American Idol this year. This terrible... That's a joke too, Rob.
Okay.
Hi. It's this little dry sense of humor, okay? You pay attention. Listen a little closer, that's all. No, I don't think it's an irresponsible campaign. But I think really it's it's like the crappy part now that I watch it for. I don't watch it for the singing anymore. I watch it because I like to see the... Last night, I was really amused. It was terrible.
You
know I was amused.
Doing?
Yes.
You're rationalizing.
Mm.
You're making excuses.
Maybe you think I'm hanging on to something desperately, clinging on to something that I should be letting go of.
I know that there are... when it comes to the Mike intervention list,
right.
I know that there are many topics that I have.
Mm-hmm.
We may have to move American Idol to the top of your intervention list.
Well, boy...
Sit you down in a room with some like-minded people like myself and Buzz and...
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I guess it would end there.
Hi, Mike.
It'd be just me and Buzz telling you the show things.
Trying to talk to you. I think that it's really going to go the way you say it's going to go. I really believe that. I'm intrigued by some of it, but I'm not.
Okay.
But I don't know whether that's your influence on me.
Right. We've got a break.
Which pisses me off.
I am a visionary.
But you also really, when you want to sell something, I mean, really, you could teach the guys that because you are like a pit bull.
At
you will
point,
not let go of that hunk of meat until it's devoured.
I shouldn't say at what point. At any point last night, did you throw water at American Idol?
No.
All right, well then, that says enough.
I watched the tall girl cry
yes.
with a sick smile on my face, and then shortly thereafter drifted off to sleep because I'd had quite a couple of days.
Yeah, yeah, I had.
And I really, really drifted off to sleep.
And your fingers were so tired.
Oh, God. God dang.
God dang.
God dang.
I like it when you say God dang.
God dang.
The Friday favorite. Yes. Oh, and it's a good one, too. It's you got for dual roles today, right?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay, be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's wrong with you?
Here he goes now with the nostalgia.
Let me tell you something.
What, are you going to not know?
I had a semester and a half of college.
Well, we're going to find out.
I understand Freud. I understand therapy as a concept.
Anxiety attacks are legitimate psychiatric emergency.
But in my world, it does not go down.
Why would you even ask that?
I can't go into detail.
You may run North Jersey, but you don't run your Uncle Junior.
You're always with the drama.
What is it you want to say to me?
I feel exhausted just talking about it.
You have strong feelings about that.
He was a squeaking little gerbil when he died.
What line of work are you in?
Waste management consultant. The Don and Mike Show.
Your destination for disappointment. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Hey, listen, tonight, I'm not sure if jerk-off Jay Severin will be doing his neck stepping, or rather his neck kissing, I'm sorry,
right.
Tonight.
Right.
But I do think that if you wanted to call the show, as we urged you to yesterday, because remember, he started it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, no, we started it because we said he sucks,
yeah.
But he does. Anyway, he wasn't on live last night.
Right.
And tonight, he may be. So if you're out there and you're one of those internet people,
anybody out there listening?
Shock and awe. That's what I would say. Isn't that what
right.
Bush said?
That's yeah. right.
Shock and awe. Shock and awe.
We want to awe him.
Make it tonight so Jay Severin, if he's got the balls to do a live show tonight, mm-hmm. is afraid to take a phone call.
There you go.
Because he thinks every call will be someone calling about this show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very hard. Now, our retarded program director has to be the only guy in the world that doesn't know The Sopranos. Coming on. Doesn't even have HBO.
Talking about that. I heard you on the hallway. I was listening to you talk about that. Shock and awe. I like when a couple of DJs talk about shock and awe. That makes me laugh. It makes me laugh. What are you going to do? Even people call him? Oh, shake it. I'm scared. God.
Where you been,
Tony? Why don't
you
fight him? Just give him a right cross, right to the jaw.
Where you been, Tony?
I've been away for a while. You know, I've been doing the other stuff, getting ready for the big show. You know, you're going to watch?
Yeah,
whole country's going to watch. The reviews are in. Another great time. Great right. time. Everybody's going to like it. It's going to be great. It's going to be a fantastic show. I just think this year is going to be better than ever. You know, forget about it. It's going to be fantastic. You're going to love it. You're going to love the show like every year you love the show. That's
sure.
it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about nothing. You got nothing to worry about, Don Geronimo. It's going to be great. It's going to be great, Rob Spiewak, Buzz Burbank, all of you. I'm back.
Tony Soprano.
Oh, here I am. I'm back. Me with the whole tray. Just ready to go again. You know, just have another good time. This might be it, though. Might pull the plug after this.
Yeah. Is James Gandolfini in there?
As always.
Good.
He's around. He's hanging around. I suppose you'd like to talk to him. You know, you like to talk to him more than you like to talk to me. That's usually what the case is. I come on your show. I try to do, you know, a little stick with you. And then you're going to say, where's James?
Right.
You know, why do you want to talk to him? Let me ask you.
Okay, what?
What's the deal? Why come you don't want to talk to Tony? See, I don't amuse you or something like that. I'm not funny anymore. Well, you always ask for James. I come by and say, James, we're going to talk to James. I'll let you talk to James.
Now, isn't James really the man behind Tony?
I see that you talk your psychobabble gibberish. You like Melfi.
Aren't you really a
You like Melfi.
Aren't you really a
I want to bang Melfi this season. Bang a hard.
Aren't you a made-up character?
Now you're starting to do that to me. Now don't do this. You're going on this road, you're going to make me angry.
You
want to talk to me about this? It's crap. You know, I swear to God, I will come to your house. We can talk about it man on man then. See how big your britches are then. You want to talk about characters and fake and phony? You talk to James.
You're
don't talk to me about that garbage. That's
like,
garbage!
You're like Casper the Friendly Ghost. I mean, you're like transparent. You're fake.
What? You saying I'm fake?
You're fake.
Yeah, you're fake.
You're
I'll show
character.
You fake. I'll show you fake. If I, you know, how about the, you know, your ears? You're just like I said in that thing.
What?
You're a squeaky little gerbil. You're going to die. That's all there is to it, all right? You always dwell on the talk and the fancy, prissy, swishy James the Queer. You don't like him. You know why?
Why? Why?
I don't like him. I mean, I'm sorry.
Why?
I misspoke.
Why?
He's a fag.
Really?
Where is he at? James? All right, bring him in here. Oh, you want me to go over to the other side? He's out in the hallway, timidly waiting to talk on the show.
Let's bring in the talented actor.
Who is come Scary James?
Emmy winner, James Gandolfini.
Right.
Good afternoon. How are you? Good to be with you.
It's good to talk to an actor who enjoys his craft.
Oh, what a ride. What a ride it's been. It's been, you know, it's really been... such a delightful experience. I was talking with my publicist Robert the other day, and he was telling me that you know, that things are just going great. I'm real happy about it. I'm really happy that The Sopranos is coming on for another season.
How do you feel about the growth of the character of Tony?
Phenomenal. It's you know, something more than we could have ever expected. Yeah. It's something that I will treasure for all of my days on this earthly plane.
James, you realize, of course, that
yes.
You play a character in Tony Soprano.
And what a character he is. The writing is delicious. It's something that they do for me that allows me to express a certain side of myself. And I'm sure that if you delve deeply into it, there's a little Tony in all of us. Would you not agree? And I said to someone just the other day, I said, touche, what a beautiful statement that is. There is a little Tony in all of us, a chance to...
Now, is there a little Jim Gandolfini in Tony?
Would you have a water for me? A little bottle?
Rob?
Just something small.
A bottle of water.
Something for him? Any Pellegrino?
No, I don't have that.
That's quite all right. Just not tap, please.
Is there any Jim Gandolfini in Tony Soprano?
Yeah, I suppose there might be, but not really. It's you have to realize when you're an actor, you get into the character, and that's the way you're supposed to do it. Season 6 is like slipping on a pair of well-worn, comfortable slippers.
Oh.
And I think you'll find marvelous plot twists and great, great texture, a layered cast of delightful actors.
Are they
that bring a lot to bring a lot to the table.
Bring the other guy back.
Oh,
yeah.
My God!
Come on back in.
What an ass! What an ass you are! You are a total ass! You talk like a Prince Charming! You talk like some sort of king in the, you know, the old days of the knights in shining armor, you ass. I ought to slap you just for sitting there. Well, you know, texture. Oh, boy. Have you any water? God, what an ass he is. I slap him silly. It drives me nuts. What do you want, though? Jeez. God, I tell you. Whew. I can't get that upset.
I'll tell you this.
You might upset. Might be having one of my spells.
You might be the made-up one.
God, I feel like they're coming on. I really
what
do.
Am I you are the made-up one.
Yeah, but, the made-up one. Oh, here we go again with the made-up one. Shut up!
But I think that you're more entertaining than the real guy.
Thanks. You got that, huh? Yeah. How long did it take you to figure out? You want to see entertainment? I'll show you entertainment. We'll take a trip down to AC. I'll show you real entertainment. Get one of them big rooms with the, you know, when we get all the girls coming in there. It's going to be fantastic, you know? Russians. That's the way to go.
Right.
You pay for the Russians. They'll do anything. Anything you ask. Anything, no matter how dirty, anything you want. I don't like the real, you know, the real crazy crap, but they will do anything you want with their mouths.
Wow.
Fantastic. I swear to God, it's like the whole Russian army. It's like Joseph Stalin said, you know, use your mouths, girls. Support the troops. We have a great time. You know, lots of drink, lots of food, great steak.
Who's getting killed on Sunday night?
Oh, yeah, I got to tell you that. I told you that. I had to kill you myself. What are you talking
Come
about?
On.
Who's going to get killed?
Okay. Oh, somebody's getting
Come
killed.
Come on, Edgar Styles. How do you like that? Huh? Yeah, put that one in your pipe. We're going to bring him back, too. Yeah. Like, they were going to keep that character around. He's a mumbling, bubbling little ween is what he is. I don't like him one little bit. Big, fat tub of goo. I swear to God. I say, shut up, fat boy. Yeah, we'll get Russian bitches a bottle of booze and provolone. Lots of times. Lots of good times there.
So you getting back together with Carm?
I can't talk about the plot, all right? Now, don't get me mad. You want to talk about the plot? I can't talk about the plot!
I've seen the ad where you're in bed with
All right,
her.
Let me give you what I can give you, okay? There's going to be a lot of crap between me and Johnny Sack. Johnny Sack in New York. And he heads up the New York family, head of the Jersey family. That's what we're gonna talk about. A lot of different stuff that goes on between the families. He's going up for a while. I talk about that. I talk about the fact that, you know, he's going to bring me down because he's going to rat me out.
Jimmy?
And I'm going to get a button to put on his ass and go, okay.
You want to come back in? What's up here, Jim?
What I don't understand is the violence. I don't understand why he's got to be so violent all the time. You know,
the way they write the character.
I understand. I would you smell my breath? How is it? I just ate a small mint.
Minty fresh. Mm-hmm.
Cinnamon Altoid.
Is there a plot?
Wonderful product, incidentally.
Is there a plot arc about your obesity?
Oh, now, that's you're funny. Look, my weight is part of my character. I'm able to shed weight like most actors are.
From one fat man to another, you know I'm kidding you, Jimmy.
I know you are. I admire your levity, and I think
couldn't say that to Tony.
No, you couldn't. He probably, you know, I think that his character has been referred to as overweight. I think there have been comments made about his character being overweight, but you know, he's somebody that probably would not take well to any type of constructive or non-constructive criticism.
Hey, Tony, what's happening?
I was prowling your hallways to see if I could get something to eat. You got nothing here. You got nothing. We got a stupid vending machine upstairs. Got a payday candy bar.
Jim,
how about some real food? You know, how about
Jim,
a little a little provolone, a little ziti.
Jim was just saying how fat you are.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Jim was talking about how I was fat.
Yeah.
Has he looked in the mirror? Has he looked in the mirror lately? I swear to God, I will kick his ass. I will kick his ass. I'm not fat. I'm portly.
Now, hold on.
I'm portly.
You realize?
I'm a big guy. I'm big boned, okay? I carry my weight well from the tip of my toe to my top of my head. Don't worry about it. You want to talk about fat? Talk about that guy that's, out taking a swim, big pussy. That's fat. That's fat. That's man boob fat.
Right.
All right? Talk about fat, that guy I talked about, Edgar Stiles.
You know what else Jim
Lewis
said?
Somebody.
You know what Jim said about you? What
did he say?
Something about your character being slow to develop on the show.
What? My character?
We're talking about character
development. My character is the show. I got news for you. My character is the show. There is no Soprano without Tony Soprano. There's no
what?
Soprano without Tony Soprano.
What?
I am portly and I enjoy shiny golf shirts and nice slacks.
What are you
That's
going
what
to
I
do?
Like.
What are you going to do when the Sopranos leaves?
Whack them.
And
whack them all.
And Jim Gandolfini retires your character, and you're like the genie that goes back in the bottle.
You look me right in the eye. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to live forever. I will live forever. Forever. Print it, write it down.
Christopher.
Christopher, that kid.
Christopher.
Oh, my God. I tell you right now, he's got some serious problems, that kid. That kid up and down with a horse, with the H. I said, stay off the H. You go back on the H, I'll kill you. I'll kill you myself. I'll take the gun and put it to your head, just like that. And I'll hold my fingers, you know the way I do?
Yeah, I know.
With that gun sound. Bam. Bada-bing. I'll whack him. I swear to God, this is, everybody's ratting me out. And not a good season for Paulie Walnuts either.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Those people, I tell you, I don't know why. I will never die, but also I'm working on my stand-up comedy.
Really?
All right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how that's going to work out.
It's a lot of it's stuff I can't use here. You know, you can't with your restrictions and stuff.
Oh, dirty stuff?
That's a lot about women's odor. Yeah, it's a lot of that stuff, Yeah, lots about women's odor, I started out, I can't talk, I'm trying to do a family stuff for you, okay? Come on, go. Good evening, I'm Tony Soprano, you might have seen me on The Sopranos, I got a little stand-up for you. Hey, what is it with these women that don't take care of themselves? Bada bing! And that'll be my buzz line that I'll say, bada bing each time, then I go on like that, I was with this one broad, okay? She was Russian. Jeez, I don't know what the deal is, but I said, I can't be with you anymore. Bada bing. I get detail about how it stinks and everything, but it's, I just can't use the detail about, what it comes from, And she says, shut up, I got an infection. I'm like, okay, you got an infection. What am I supposed to, am I a doctor, am I a surgeon? You want me to break rolls? Bada bing. My rolls.
Oh, hold on, Jimmy wants to come back. Jimmy?
I'm over here now.
Jimmy?
Yeah, funny. How disgusting to talk about that. Really, if that's what he thinks is going to, make women admire him or make people laugh at him, I say more power to him.
Jim, now.
May I have just a sip before we proceed? I'm a little upset with that.
It's
disturbing.
Jim?
That's not part of the whole Sopranos. It's not part of the character that I've developed.
Now, you're real.
It's not part of my Emmy-nominated and Emmy-winning accomplishment.
You're real. You're a real guy.
I most definitely
When you come
am,
in
though.
And pretend to be Tony Soprano.
It's a long way since Crimson Tide. I'll tell you that. My God. My God, my God, oh God. Wow, he is really, really starting to get under my skin.
Mm-hmm.
He is. He seems to be more out of control, but that'll be good for the character.
He's you, though. He's you. He's
I know.
The made-up part of you.
Craziness, isn't it? Tough to explain myself. Really, tough to explain myself. I'm not quite sure.
Do you find feminine odor to be funny?
Not a bit.
Right.
Usually it's a result of some medical condition, and it's something that they can't control. And
like
I think they should get help, and I think that's not fun.
Throw out, see what your action is when I throw out yeast infection.
Bad stuff. Yeah. Get help.
Right.
But don't lambast the poor lady.
See what he says.
Yeast infection. Yeast infection! Oh, you're killing me with that yeast infection. Oh, my God. Hey, Dr. Melfi. What's going on down there? He doesn't get jokes. He wouldn't get my stuff. You know, my stuff's for grown-ups. He's just a little boy, a little actor boy, little short pants actor boy, shiny buckle shoes, fag. Screw that. I'm tired of this crap. I don't like him anyway. I like me, and I'm the boss. Right. So deal with it. I'm the boss. If you don't believe I'm the boss, ask around. See who doesn't think I'm the boss. That's the way it works. Always works that way. Always will be that way since time immemorial, whatever they call it. You know, I've been there, will be there forever and ever. Amen. Long after I'm gone, too. But I'm going to live forever, just like I said before. I will not die. There's not a chance I'm going to die, so don't worry about it. Forget about it.
What about when you were in that movie with John Travolta, the Get Shorty?
What? I'm not in no movie with John Travolta. What are you talking about? Oh,
Jimmy,
no, I got to go up.
Jimmy?
Hi.
I was just commenting to Tony about how great you were in Get Shorty.
Ooh,
remember you played Bear the Bouncer?
I played Bear the Bouncer, and I really want to thank the stunt work that was done by several wonderful stunt actors. I wish their names came to me, but they don't. Great, talented, wonderful men. A wonderful community of actors and doubles and extras. Those are the forgotten masses in Hollywood that really don't get the kind of attention nor the credits that they richly deserve.
Say something to you again. Just try...
Mr. Burbank,
hey,
good to see you.
Jim.
I admire your politics. I really, really think that it's unfair, the treatment that some of the behind-the-scenes people get. I think sometimes they work long hours without getting proper pay.
Kind of a word reaction again.
Yes.
Just real fast.
All right.
Stinky Poon.
That's vulgar. We can have a very nice dialogue, talk about the show, talk about my character without that kind of vulgarity,
right,
if you don't mind.
I
don't
mind.
Stinky poo! That's it. Now we're talking my language, but stay away from it. You might get something on your lip. Watch out. That's dangerous, baby. I also do jokes about snot and puke. That's what I'm all about.
Wow.
I'm living on my own.
Snot and puke.
Yeah, I took all my good video equipment home, too. That's the best part. I like that, yeah. Screw you, Cobb. Yeah.
We'll
never an order from her. Make no mistake.
Good. Oh, please.
Oh, please, hey.
Oh, please.
That's the, you know, I don't care. It's the mother of my kid, okay?
Well,
that's
well,
you know, Tony Jr.
Low budget Jeopardy right now. A challenger, because we have a champion. Phone number 877-365-3636. You want to play the game.
Yeah, everybody be on the best behavior. All right. Remember, you got a boss in you. You got to make sure you're dealing with the right guy. All right, that's the way it's going.
I don't want to deal with that guy for a second.
All right,
Jimmy.
Hello. Wow, Mr. Vulgarity. Thy name is Tony.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have to say. It's very so eager.
So call now for low budget Jeopardy.
So young, very handsome. I'm talking about Robert Eiler. A talented young man.
AJ.
Put his demons away, thank God.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to have a good season. You're going to like his work. He comes into his own. Wonderful, wonderful.
Did you know
guy.
That Buzz had a picture of AJ in a swimsuit on his screensaver?
It's actually not true.
Yeah. Did you really, though? Is that a running joke?
No, this started as a joke.
I watched Dateline, you know. I don't like that. I heard what you said.
Oh, no.
What?
You still have it?
Yeah.
He still has the picture?
I never had
of
it.
Of AJ?
Tony, I never had it.
On his... Computer?
By the pool.
You're a dead man, Burbank, just like you were. I swear to God.
I've been framed,
I'm gonna
Tony.
Come, we're going to go for a nice long drive.
I didn't
and this
do
time
nothing.
We're not going to get lost in the woods.
Hey,
okay?
Tony.
Yo.
Stinky Poon.
Stinky Poon! That's good. Stinky Poon. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Ooh, where am I? A fish market?
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Look, I'm not back in 10 minutes. They call the cops. Standard operating procedure.
Here's some standard operating procedure. Stay the f*** away from Tony Soprano. Shut the f*** up and listen. It's over. Capisce? Over and done. You call or go anywhere near him or his family, and they'll be scraping your nipples off these fine leather seats.
Oh, my.
The Don and Mike Show.
Bitch.
They'll suck the power out of ye, Don and Mike.
Hey,
what,
turn that music down. Turn that music down, AJ.
Not AJ.
That's crap.
It's Don.
I want to be able to hit myself, think, and watch my documentary on the Nazis. Turn it down. I'll knock you through a wall. God.
Tony?
What?
Let's play the game.
Yeah, yeah, the game. All right. Jesus. You play that racket every day? I want TV and my ice cream. This is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studios are challenges. This guy's an unemployed auto mechanic from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Let's say hi to Joe Lepansky.
Here he is.
Howdy, Joe.
Hi, LQ.
Hi there.
Did I pronounce your name right?
Not even close, but that's okay.
Forget about it. Now entering the studios, our returning champion is a student from Burtonsville, a young kid, 21-year-old, Kurt Radcliffe.
Hey, Kurt.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey, dude, being a returning low-budget Jeopardy champion, how has it changed your life?
Hasn't really changed my life at all.
Bye!
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Hey, Kurt.
Yo.
Speak up.
What's up?
There you go, a little louder. All now right. Entering the studios, the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. Don't screw with LQ and say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Tony. And here are your categories.
Good. I like this. This is my favorite part right here.
The categories are Sopranos Trivia.
Right on. There you go, Don.
The Tony Awards.
Hey, this is good. I like this. Good. You're doing me proud.
And this week on the Don and Mike Show.
Straighten up and fly right, boys. Let's get going.
Okay, so your categories are...
Yeah.
Sopranos Trivia. You
said that already.
The Tony Awards.
Yeah, well, you're repeating it for. Don't they get the first... You write it down, Kurt?
And this week with Don and Mike.
Hey, Kurt.
You.
Write it down. All right, let's play the game, right?
All right. Joe, you're the challenger. We'll start with you, Joe.
I'll take the Tony Awards for one.
The Tonys. For one. Oh, former Good Morning America weatherman.
Oh, God. Tony.
All right, Kurt, your chance to steal.
Who is Tony Perkins?
Yes, and I should point out, Joe, that was not in the form of the question.
I apologize.
All right, Kurt, yeah. You're in control.
This week on the Dynamite Show.
No, Kurt. Kurt, stay with Tony's.
All right, the Tony's.
For what?
For two.
Yeah. Right. Hey, is that an attitude I hear? Because if you're going to give me an attitude, I'm going to come right down the phone line.
He's the boss.
Tony Danza. Who is Tony Danza?
Not in the form of a question.
Joe, it's your chance to steal.
Who is Tony Danza?
$2.
A mega talent.
Yeah, he's a... Watch out, you know, he's a friend of ours.
Oh, he's a python.
Yeah,
I know.
He is. All right, Joe, you select again.
Let's finish up Tony for three.
Danza.
He played Felix Unger on The Odd Couple.
I have no idea.
Kurt, your chance to steal. Hurry up.
I have no idea.
I hear them Googling.
Wow.
I hear them Googling.
Yeah. Somebody's Googling right there.
How soon they forget.
Yep.
Tony Randall.
Dead.
Yes, very dead.
I like when you had that on the show. Tony Randall. Dead. You do that on the show. It's good.
Tony Randall.
Dead. All right. Dead.
Christopher Reeves' wife.
Dead. Yeah,
so you did that with a bit more reverence.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, it just happened. You know, right. You want to, you got to have respect sometimes. When I go to some of the wasteful guys I whack, you know, that's the way it works.
Big pussy.
Dead! Dead! And he smells like a lady's thing. All right, Joe, you're in control.
Let's do This Week on the Don and Mike Show for one.
All right, here we go. He licked a stripper.
Who is Rob?
$1 for you. That's right, Joe. Select again, please.
This week on the Don and Mike Show for two.
Greg Gillespie is official title.
What is program director?
Correctamundo.
$2. You're doing pretty well there, Mr. Lipskinski.
Oh, God.
For three.
Come on!
For three.
Let's have This Week on the Don and Mike
Show. While we're young, thank you.
While we're young.
Truth be told, he never won the Pulitzer Prize.
Hey, Kurt, your chance to steal.
Who is Jay Severin?
Jerk off Jay Severin, yes.
$3 for you, Kurt. Select again.
What are the other categories?
Oh, let's take it away from him and give it to Joe.
Yeah. All right, Joe, select again.
Sopranos Trivia for one.
Am I the only one finding Kurt to be less than reverential towards his position as champion?
He's a two-timer. He's a two-time champion.
Yeah, he's jumping all over the board. He doesn't seem to know how many questions there are.
It's a miracle that kid got this far. Yeah.
He's doing the thing not in the form of a question.
He's a bit of a rebel. But I like him.
How much does he have?
The total for the 2 days?
For today.
For today, he got $4.
How much does the other guy got?
The other guy's got $5.
I take one away from Kurt.
Hey, Kurt.
Good for you. Yeah.
We're knocking you down to $3.
All right.
Uphill battle, my friend. Good luck.
And, hey, give it to the Python.
$6 for you, Joe. Now you get to select again. I like it when you just do the king thing.
Let's do Sopranos trivia for one.
All right. Tony Soprano's favorite topless show bar.
What is the Bada Bing?
$1, the best in town. Everybody go. Go ahead, Joe.
Sopranos trivia for two.
Tony Soprano's dead mommy's name.
What is Mrs. Soprano?
Kurt, your chance to steal. Excuse me.
Who is Livia Soprano?
$2. That's a good pull there, Kurt.
Olivia Newton Soprano, correct.
Olivia, as I like to call her, you bitch! That's right. Select again.
Sopranos trivia for three.
Last question on the big board. He created the Sopranos.
Who is David Chase?
Gets him into the lead once again. That's the last question, and you are now taking the lead, Mr. Kurt.
All right, Kurt. That's it. We're done with the first round.
First round's over.
Tony?
Yeah.
Who's got what?
Kurt's got $8. Joe's got $7. He's got a horse race here. It's like going out to the track.
Now, are you reading the thing, or is Jimmy reading the thing?
Jimmy, I can do it, or you can do it. Doesn't matter. I would prefer to read it, though. And Mr. Gandolfini happens to be momentarily indisposed.
Oh, I understand.
All right, I got him in the back room.
Okay.
With a piece of duct tape on his
neck. Here we go with the final low-budget Jeopardy. And here is your answer. The National Football League. Who doesn't love the NFL?
Jimmy Gandolfini.
Let me see. Oh, they got the labor problem solved thanks to Paul Tagliabue. Paul Tagliabue replaced this man as commissioner of the National Football League. Boy, can you hear that? Can you hear that?
Yeah, the pecking on the keyboard.
Peck, peck,
sure.
Peck, peck, peck. You know, you hear that? I mean, we've not banned Googling yet.
No.
It's a little disconcerting.
For goodness sakes. He is the man that Paul Tagliabue replaced as commissioner of the NFL. Don't forget, Kurt, Joe, answer the forum question, and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive Tonys, the candy that makes you part of the family. That's the slogan. You like it?
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the queer award show. Tonys are filled with chocolatey goodness shaped like me and jam-packed with special ingredients like pistachios, nougat, and basil.
Nougat.
All wrapped together in a yummy coating of delicious Italian chocolate.
Uh-huh.
And the best part of every single package of Tonys comes in its own pizza box. Now back to Final Moments in Germany with Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Tony.
It's cash for you and me. It's time for Dawn and Mike to play the budget.
Here we go. Come on, big bucks. We want to go to who first? Huh?
Deal or no deal?
Who do we want to go to first?
Joe Blazowski, whatever his name.
Joe Pison. Joe, he replaced this man. Paul Tagliabue replaced this guy as commissioner of the National Football League.
Who is Gary Bettman?
No, that knocks you down to zero.
All right, faggot. Good guess. Let's go to Kurt. Kurt, if you have the right answer, you are the big winner.
Who is Pete Rozelle?
Now, Kurt.
No, I understand I didn't give an answer, but I got like 3 seconds to think.
Kurt?
Yeah.
Kurt.
Oh, you are such a rebel.
Here is why Kurt is now going to be disqualified.
Oh,
we are going to take all of his money away, and Joe is going to be the big winner. I mean, we're going to take away the money we already gave Kurt.
We're
going to
get like one of those champions by anointment?
Yeah, here's the deal. Like ointment. Champions by ointment.
That's right.
Because the only way that we can regulate this so that you can't cheat during the stupid game is that you give Joe the answer
right
during the 30 seconds.
Right.
Now, Joe then puts up on the screen so I can see. What you got to do is be honest.
Yeah, be honest. You might get your legs broken.
Because the guy Kurt, what he said to Joe was, he didn't know.
Right.
Both of these guys don't know the answer.
Right.
Kurt, you're a cheater.
Well, can I just say that I had like 2 seconds to give an answer?
Hey, Kurt?
Yes.
Bye! There, like that, out of there.
Can I just say I had 2 seconds?
Does that mean we're going to give all the prizes to Joe today?
Yeah, except I just hung up on both of them.
Well,
I didn't mean to
as well.
What are you doing?
I really didn't mean to.
Well, let me tell you right now that Joe doubles the score to $14 with $225 bonus.
We'll get him back on, I'm
total
sure.
Total amount of dollars he's got. Hey, he's got $39 for the game. So congratulations. You want me to give him this too?
Yeah, give him that too.
Yeah, going to give him never be win him before you can buy them, whatever. Jimmy Buffett tickets. A pair of tickets to see Jimmy Buffett live Thursday.
We got him back. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Joe, here you go, Joe.
Hey, Joe, you got to pick the Buffett tickets, all right? You get to see Jimmy Buffett live Thursday, August 3rd at Nissan Pavilion. Is that too far for you?
Not at all. I'll drive anywhere to see Jimmy.
Tickets go on sale this Saturday, March 11th at 10 a.m. at all Ticketmaster outlets and online at Ticketmaster.com, Don.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you very much, LQ.
Thank you. Hold on.
There you go. That's what happens. You cheat, the other guy wins. Simple as that.
Now, hold on. What happened?
Just like life.
It's not a bad policy.
Everything just went dead. Let me just make sure I got that right with Joe.
Call the nerve center.
Make sure the guy Joe really did have the right amount of time and all that, right?
Right.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Joe.
Now, playing by the rules, when you wrote don't know, that's what the guy told you, right?
Of course.
Okay. All right. I'm just checking the parameters, Joe.
That's right. He did not fall within the parameters.
Hey, all right, way to go. Hey, the weekend's here, Joe, huh?
Have
hey
a can of beer.
Yeah, there you go. Right, I like Joe that.
All right. Bada bing.
Or a nice glass of wine. Uh-huh. Red wine. Yeah. And then put your finger in your nose. Yeah,
thank
all right
you, Joe.
Thank you.
Bye, Joe. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah, he was at the door.
I hate it when Jeopardy ends like that. I hate it when something like that happens. Hey, Jimmy.
Just wanted to roll in here and tell you that honesty is the best policy. I think you did the right thing.
What the hell happened? You used to get a roll. It looked like somebody just rolled you.
Yeah, he hit me during the break and put duct tape on my mouth. Didn't want me to come in here, but I was able to free myself and drop by to say a fond farewell.
It means you hit yourself.
In a way, you might be correct. Sometimes I can't control it.
This is like that commercial.
Sticking it to the man?
The guy's sticking. But, sir, you are the man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's somewhat like that.
Yeah.
Only far more complicated, psychoanalytically speaking.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is. He hit me with a 25-inch salami.
It hurt. Wow. Name was Pete Rozelle, incidentally.
I reek of garlic. I really do. A smell I don't like.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
I don't care for
garlic. One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
I like French cuisine.
He made it up.
I do. I prefer it to Italian. Everyone thinks that I enjoy pizza and such. I say nay. Nay to them. Nay to them. I don't enjoy that a bit. But looking forward to the premiere this Sunday.
Sure.
Please watch.
Buzz, what are your lead stories on news and comments tonight?
Tonight, desperate housewives versus desperate mobsters. No.
I think we'll do very well.
I think you will.
I think we will.
No fish sticks for Catholics next Friday, and Neverland, nevermore.
You know, I bet that Tony would probably have something better to say about taking on desperate housewives.
I bet he would.
We're going to kick their asses.
That's right.
They're pretty little domesticated asses.
And
they are dead, every one of them, all of them.
What about their daisies?
The daisies smell like bad halibut.
Stay tuned for news and comment.
Smell like calamari.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Uncooked, dried calamari out in the sun.
Hey, Tony.
Stinking like fish.
Tony.
Yo.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
Right.
Legendary Canadian troubadours, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
I have a buzz now with Casey and the Shoeshine Band. A little ditto. Buzz News and Comment Show tonight brought to you by Hard Times Cafe. All the great food you love to eat. Great food, good people, cheap prices. Hard Times Cafe.
That's right.
Look for our own Jessica Rabbit there.
Yeah, really?
She was asking. She came in during the spots.
Uh-huh.
And she's the lady that makes sure the commercials run.
Schedules them, yeah. And a former bird trainer.
So she came in during the spots and she said, are you going to read the Hard Times commercial? I said, yes. She said, have you ever been there? Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she held up, what's the magazine you have over there?
People Magazine.
Uh-huh. She held it up and she said, can I ask you a question? I said, yes. She said, do you think the tabloids are true?
Yes, these are the serious questions she poses.
The big question. And I said, dear girl.
She said, grasshopper, snatch this pebble from the center of my hand.
Dear sweet girl. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's a ratings battle royale this Sunday night. It's one of the most popular shows on television.
Absolutely true. 100% true.
I don't know why this question popped into my head, but this summer if you go to the beach, will you be going to the dough roller? It's a ratings battle royale this Sunday night. It's one of the most popular shows on television. Desperate Housewives goes up against the one show on cable that gets ratings, The Sopranos.
Yes.
If only the real mob's problems were so simple. USA Today documented the crumbling of the mafia in today's annoying Friday, Saturday, Sunday edition.
Oh, Peshaw.
Yeah, it was sad. Don't believe it. The paper says the traditional mobs are down to one in Chicago and five families in New York. And the bosses of all five of those families are now in prison. More than five dozen other leaders are awaiting trial, partly because the mafia's code of secrecy isn't what it used to be. Other traditions are fading as well. 30 years ago, induction into a family meant a solemn ceremony and a big banquet. For one recent inductee, it meant a hamburger at a diner in Queens.
Yes, Jessica, the tabloids are real.
Every word.
The Easter Bunny told me.
The paper quotes organized crime historians who say today's modern mobster has grown tired of the life and wants out. And it says the ones who walked away have lived to tell about it.
How can you get tired of that life? How do you get tired of
being a wise guy?
Yeah, come on.
Forget it.
Forget about it.
I didn't. I wasn't going to say that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, come on. Right. Who doesn't love it?
You know that scene in Goodfellas, which, you know, we talk about so many different scenes. We never talk about this one. One of my favorites. It's the single shot where the camera follows Ray Liotta when he goes into the back of the kitchen and he's saying hi to everybody, right. And then they pull out the special table for him. They put it right down front.
Oh, when he takes, what's her name?
Lorraine Bracco.
To the Copacabana.
The first date.
That's right. And he says, this is always the best way to get in. Right. I don't like waiting. And every guy that he sees, he greases on the way in.
Absolutely. Right? And then he sees the couple making out the hall. What is with you two? You're always here.
I love that. But organized crime still functions, mostly through racketeering, bookmaking, and loan sharking.
You're goddamn right. It's the American way, Buzz.
Quoting one detective, they're like your grass. You keep cutting it, and it keeps growing back.
See, that's an encouraging word.
Well, for somebody. Mm-hmm. To answer the question, are there still Catholics who don't eat meat on Fridays during Lent? We take you to Beef Country, Omaha, Nebraska. There was controversy when the Ancient Order of Hibernians ordered corned beef for its annual St. Patrick's Day feast. The trouble was that St. Paddy's Day falls on a Friday this year.
That's right.
The problem solved. The Archbishop of Omaha, there's a good gig, has issued a special dispensation giving Catholics a pass on corned beef on March 17th, 2006.
Here's somebody speaking for beef eaters everywhere.
Good. This is Rip Taylor. I will be at the Metroliner tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Washington, D.C.
The Archbishop is asking folks to give up meat instead on Saturday the 18th. Quoting a spokesman for the Archbishop, in this day and age, there's precious little the Church asks of us.
You know, more of the ridiculous fairy tales of being a Catholic that I remember when I was a kid. It's like, are you kidding me? I remember what
Fish on Friday.
I remember when I would actually challenge my parents on some of this crap. Like when we would come back from CCD, which is, you might as well have just, you know, I know Jesus had it bad with the nails, but you might as well have just nailed me to the desk in CCD.
Kind of duplicated the experience for you.
It's so bad. And I remember saying one thing, because I hated fish. I still hate fish.
I know.
Like Elvis. And I remember once saying to my parents something like, at midnight, I'm going to have a piece of meat. I'm going to have a piece of ham at midnight.
Right.
And my parents saying something like, it's perfectly acceptable at midnight.
Yes.
You know, and I remember at a young age, I couldn't articulate it, but what I was saying was like, you're believing in, like, voodoo. Mm-hmm. It's like, really, you believe, I mean, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus lived. I believed everything else. But what? I can't have a hamburger on Friday?
That's right.
At 11:59, I'm going to go to hell if I have a hamburger. At 12:01 a.m.,
you're in the clear.
I'm A-okay.
That's right. Some would always say it's man's interpretation of God's law.
Uh-huh. CCD, Central City Dump.
Updating a previous story.
Don't forget my old DJ name as well. Archbishop.
Archie Bishop.
Hey, it's Archbishop.
Updating a previous story, lawmakers in the House have killed a plan to make meat sellers tell you when they inject raw meat with deadly carbon monoxide gas.
I hate that.
Remember
stuff.
This?
You don't eat it Fridays.
In so-called safe amounts, the gas...
God will sweep down and take out your heart.
Gas is injected to keep meat unnaturally fresh-looking, even after it may have gone bad.
On St. Patrick's Day, you eat all the corned beef you can.
Here's another one of the great lies in the Catholic Church. God, did I sit through this. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Yes, what did you do? Well, I killed a schoolroom full of children. Oh, that's bad. 5 Hail Marys. See you next week.
Well, you wouldn't have gotten off that easy.
He's a forgiving God.
Not in our day when we were doing that.
The punishment was stricter then?
It was at least the penance? At least six. And an act of contrition.
And here's a question.
Yes?
Can Catholics eat at TGI Fridays?
These are the questions we must mull over. And it all started with a simple question about People magazine. No, it started with his news.
So because of the lawmaker's decision last night, grocers can now continue and expand the practice of injecting carbon monoxide into meat without having to mention it on the label. The lawmakers also voted last night to wipe out state laws requiring better labeling of all foods, even when some of the ingredients cause cancer. Bless you. God, I hope you're not getting what I had.
Hey, that was nice.
Over 200...
Share. Excuse me.
You okay?
I'm healthy as a horse.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Healthy as Sarah Jessica Parker's face.
Over 200 state laws about food out the window. Food companies complained all those laws were just confusing the consumer.
I'm just allergic to Catholics. I'm sorry.
Democrats voted to dump the food safety laws. They get campaign contributions, too.
My son.
You like plenty of Catholics. I bet you don't even know it.
That's right.
You probably like plenty of Catholics. You don't break into sneezing fits when you're around them.
Sure I do. I'm allergic. only people that believe it. The Catholics like me that think it's okay to use a rubber, mm-hmm. think it's okay to get divorced, yeah. think that you can have meat on Friday.
Not allergic to them.
I don't sneeze around them.
Right. I have been around you and my mommy and you haven't sneezed.
Yeah, that's because you're the side to your mommy that you don't know about.
Oh, hey, watch out. Hey. Watch it, mouth.
I'm just saying, your mom eats lots of meat on Fridays.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I really don't know, but I bet you she's one that doesn't.
You're allowed to now, aren't you?
I don't know what the... I think if you're... It's just like when you have the Jewish faith where you have a conservative, right. Orthodox, and stuff. It's all by degree.
That's right.
And it's all by degree. And the... longer that people stay on this planet, the more things change.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I'm going to tell you something awful I did now, and then you're going to tell me to go say 5 prayers, which is going to make it okay.
That's right.
Now, you know, I would hear, you know, my son, you've been bad.
Mm-hmm.
Better play with your beaded necklace. Then come over between this partition.
Oh, he had an accent, did he?
Let's see what's doing in those gym shorts. Now, who's going to argue with me about that with Catholics, huh?
Come on now. I don't hear anyone.
Anybody?
Michael Jackson, meanwhile.
Mike, why are you looking at me in that tone of voice?
You're looking like you want me to argue with you.
Argue.
I don't.
Is that what you want, kind of?
No, I don't want
you looking for that on this Friday?
I don't want to argue.
The end of the week? You think of a little punch out, you know? No. I still get a lot of friends in the Catholic Church.
As opposed to getting a fist fight with you over the Catholics.
I
the effing Catholics.
I have a friend, a Franciscan monk who's a friend of mine. But I mean, you know, everybody's good. Screw him?
Screw him.
Wow.
The only monk that I'm for? Yeah. Two. First, Art Monk, uh-huh. the greatest receiver, not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Paul, if you're listening, and I know you listen, he didn't mean that.
Art Monk.
And also that TV show.
Oh, right.
Monk.
With the guy that's
right.
germ-phobic.
There you go.
Those are the only monks worth knowing, dude.
Michael Jackson.
You are so wrong about the Catholic Church.
Oh, except for the monkeys.
That's right.
Hey.
There's my fight. You are so wrong.
And Mike, you will be proving that
when I go to Mass this Sunday at 7 a.m. I'll say a prayer for you, Don.
Michael Jackson still has there.
How can I argue, man? Anyway, you know something? It sounded like some jet breaking the speed of sound when I became a fallen Catholic. Boom! What was that? Mike just became a fallen Catholic, and I did it right down the stairs.
That's exactly how
fallen
I felt.
Catholic, and that's another thing. They shame you.
That's right.
After taking your entire life and busting your balls your whole life, mm-hmm. you do something like an all-American thing, like get divorced,
right.
and suddenly you're a fallen Catholic.
That's right.
Meanwhile, you know, you could stay with a woman. You could beat the crap out of her every night. You could go out, rob, pilfer, do everything.
Confess.
You're a good Catholic.
Right.
Stand up and say you did it. But what? Oh, get divorced? No. Fallen Catholic.
Catholics don't... And the only thing I will tell you is Catholics don't have the corner on religious hypocrisy.
Oh, no.
No.
Sure they do.
No, they do.
They're number
not.
One.
No, they're not number,
number one.
No, they're not number one. I don't know who is number one, but I don't think... I think there are a lot of ties out
they
there.
Have a lot of
tie goes to the runner.
Competition.
No, come on. Yeah, come on. Catholics, number one. Let's go Catholic.
Still, you root for them.
Yeah. They're the number one most hypocritical religion out there.
I think a lot of religion has those issues.
Yeah.
A lot of religion.
Well, I'll just say, I think Catholic, well, I only know because I was a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have knowledge of, I got knowledge, first-hand knowledge, Catholic and Episcopalian. Mm-hmm. And Episcopalian is just Catholic light. Episcopalian's Catholic without all the BS.
Mm-hmm.
Just one man's humble opinion.
Do you still ever visit there at all?
The Episcopalian? Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Sure I do.
Everybody loves a Methodist.
Rob.
Michael Jackson still hasn't bought the farm or sold the ranch, but California officials shut down Neverland today because Jacko hasn't paid his 30 employees since December 23rd. He owes them over $300,000 plus now $100,000 penalties. And now Jackson's being fined $69,000 for unpaid workers' comp. The few people still at the ranch or working for Jackson have now been ordered by the state to leave and stop working there. The state's ordered Jackson to give those folks an additional 10 days' pay.
I hope I can be relaxed. I'm sorry.
What are you sorry about, Michael?
I'm sorry I was born Catholic.
The former
no, father. I'm not, Mommy.
It's just not.
I love you, Mom.
It's not a cool religion.
I love you, Mom.
That's all. And now who's that talking? Is that Michael Jackson talking or Michael Mara talking?
That's Michael Mara talking. I love you, Mom.
There was a Catholic guilt right
there. My mom's
there.
Not even listening, and I'm saying I love you, Mom. Why am I saying
she's having a nice big steak.
She's
Friday night.
She is, she very, very well might be. I don't know. I'm going to ask that question on the way home as I call her and say, he did it again. Put down the Catholics.
Catholics?
Mm. And I still have more Catholic guilt.
Catholicism?
Catholicism.
Excuse me. Catholicism.
Right.
Is the new black. I'm making a fashion statement.
All right.
Okay.
You see a lot of that in the Catholic Church.
Catholicism is the new 40.
Yeah, I think that makes it all better.
That's perfect sense.
That makes it all better. I really do. I love it when you go negative and then you get positive at the end.
Someday, you guys, listen, when you get up to heaven and God calls you in and says, you will not believe how many hours you wasted going through the three-ring circus down there. Mm-hmm. All that really matters is be a good person in your heart. Treat people nice. Other than that, it's free will. Right. You know, listen, don't do this crap. Don't come to my house because it's not my house. It's the house of whatever church it is that you're going to. And the money's not going to God. The money's going to a man that has genitals who takes a dump every morning.
Unless you get up there and, you're standing outside like a plexiglass window and you're pounding God, and there's some people there that are eating fish and they're really well-dressed and you're in rags out there going, what I do?
What I do? It always gets back to the Pope with me. You know, just a man, flesh and bone.
That's right.
I mean, I was reading the other day, not a joke, they got the Pope an iPod.
Yep.
Yes.
They got him,
that's true.
What's the little mini one they got him?
The Nano.
Right.
Well, why didn't they get him a big one? He's the Pope. Why didn't he get the video one?
Exactly. Here's the thing. Why do Catholics put this guy? I know we discussed this when the Pope died before. It's a guy with a funny hat. I know he's worked his way up through the food chain.
You know why?
Like at McDonald's, he's gone from being the night manager to cleaning the salad bar to working the register, and now he's running the empire.
Why do people give Donald Trump a standing ovation when he comes on Ellen? Well, same thing.
People are retarded.
It's the same thing.
And you know what? I think I might like the Pope more if he had Donald Trump's haircut.
If you could just get him out of that hat.
But my point is, you strip them both naked, and regardless of how religious one guy is or the other guy, they're both the same. They're both just men. I mean, what I want from a Pope is I want proof that this is a person that's been picked by God. Mm-hmm. So come down and do something goddamn superhuman for me to prove to me you're the Pope.
But he's. Do they make an allowance to say that he's picked by God? No, they say he's picked by men.
Which is why he's just flesh and bone.
Exactly.
I'd like it from a higher authority, please.
Okay. All right, well, maybe in your dreams tonight, somebody will come and say, God, he was picked by God.
What, Greg Gillespie's going to come to me in my dreams?
Hey, how are you? No, he'll be at my restaurant.
Thought it had to be Josh.
I'm just thinking of that again. All right, happy Friday, Mike.
I bet he's a Catholic.
Enjoy.
Gillespie.
I don't know.
Catholic sounding man. Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably. Ends in a vowel. Guilty. What's next, Buzz?
Sex dolls and senoritas when we come back.
You get so uptight when we talk about religion.
Yeah, I know, and that's why you go on about it so much. And there is the lovely dance we've had for 40
more
years. 20, I said 40 years, but it's 20 years.
More than sex?
Do you know why?
Why? Do you ever think about why I get uptight?
I have my theory, but...
No, really, seriously, why do you think I get uptight?
Mike, I could open the book of Mike. I don't know, but really, I don't
know.
Easy. Why?
My mom goes to Catholic Mass every Sunday. It's just my mom. It's still my mom, and you mentioned it yesterday. Being the mama's boy, you know, that's why I'm sensitive about it.
That's all.
And she's always talking about, you know, how she goes all the time, and she has to go to Mass here and there and stuff like that. And you know what? It works for her.
We won't tell.
It works for her. And that is, right there, is the reason I get uptight.
Okay.
That's it. Other than that, you know, I can't sit here and argue with you and say, I'm there every Sunday. But isn't it great that I can kind of, like, not go and still be uptight when you talk like that?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like I'm still in it.
It stays with you.
Yeah, like that's going to help you when you get up there.
Yeah, it's not. I'm screwed both ways. Completely.
You're going to be fine.
Both ways.
Don't worry. God's got a sense of humor.
I hope so.
God's a big fan of the show.
I hope so. I think we'll all be there. Well, you're looking there. Don's giving you a look, Rob.
I'll send you a postcard, Rob.
Yes.
What's next?
Sex dolls and senoritas.
Right, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating
and
entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Notoriously Funko, Don and Mike.
Just we're looking at the email, the Don and Mike website.com. A lot of our listeners are already trying to load up the phones for the Jay Gerboff Severance show tonight.
Think you'll be live tonight?
Well, we've gotten 7 separate emails from different people already saying that they're trying to get through and that the screeners are very diligent.
Ah, of course they are.
So follow the rules that we gave yesterday. Shock it on.
Enjoy.
And J.J. Goff. And now here's Buzz Girdley.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Finally, the Mexican government is using blow-up sex dolls.
Hold on. You just said Mexican government.
Thank you. Using blow-up sex dolls in an ad campaign against sexual harassment. The ad showed the dolls dressed as secretaries and maids being groped and leered at by their male coworkers. The point of the ads is that women are not sexual objects. Mexican President Vicente Fox...
Pretty good.
Hold your applause, Rob. Mexican President Vicente Fox says he supports the campaign even though he recently joked that women are just, quote, washing machines with two legs.
Oh, well now.
I'm moving to Mexico.
Washing machines with vaginas.
And Portsmouth Magazine of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, thought it had found the perfect Bachelor of the Year.
Washing machines with uterus.
He certainly looks good on the cover, refined and rugged in that European model kind of way. It wasn't until someone ran a background check and found he'd been busted for drunk driving and criminal mischief. Yes, a background check before the magazine hit the stands might have been a good idea.
Might have.
It might have also revealed that Portsmouth's most eligible bachelor isn't all that eligible, seeing as how he's also gay and all.
Oh,
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Whoa.
No!
Sorry about the
bye.
You mean to play?
Bye!
I'm into play.
Homo.
That's right. Right next to that one.
Come on, I'm late for math.
That's it. We got to fly. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Love you, Freedom. Love you, Bart. Love you, Amy. We'll be back on Monday with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 Dial recklessly, you animals. Don't forget, I get home by 7:36. And you?
I'd like to say hi to somebody.
Who do you want to say hi to?
Yvonne Kahn.
Have a good weekend.
Can we meet again? Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.